The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Randy, off the internet.
No! No, come on! Leave me alone! But Sharon, I got stuff to do! I gotta see my credit rating, and I gotta send an email to Nelson and check out Foley's vacation photos.
You don't have to do all that now. You can do one more thing, and then it's bedtime.
One more thing?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Whoever this person is, he has played World of Warcraft nearly every hour of every day for the past year and a half. Gentlemen, we are dealing with someone here who has absolutely no life.
Paul Perillo.
Mom, tell them. Tell them I'm not fat, I'm just big bone. Tell them all the stories about how everyone in your family was big as a child and then groomed their bodies.
Oh, sweetie, those were all lies. You're just fat.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm a pretty bad kid.
Really? What's the worst thing you've ever done?
I stole the head off a statue once.
Andy Hart.
Wow, that's pretty hardcore. That's like this one time when I didn't like a kid, so I ground his parents up into chili and fed it to him.
Eric Scalavino.
I'm not going to be confused anymore just because you say I should be. My name is Butter. I'm 8 years old, I'm blood type O, and I'm bi-curious.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
What?
Been on your computer all weekend. Shouldn't you go out and socialize with your friends?
I am socializing, Arthard. I'm logged on to an MMORPG with people from all over the world and getting XP with my party using TeamSpeak.
I'm not an Arthard.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It's not because I didn't have my mic on. I was talking politics with no socks. He was in here. And sorry about that. But here we are in Gillette Stadium on a Tuesday. It's Buffalo Bills week. But it also, more importantly, it's the week after the bye. And the Patriots were not sitting around doing nothing. Much to many people's surprise, and I think I include myself, the Patriots pulled off a trade deadline move and acquired Aqib Talib from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So that's the big news that we're going to be talking about for most of the day, I would suspect. What you think about the move? Does it help the Patriots? Is it worth the risk? This is a guy who, you know, you have to admit, he's got problems. I mean, this, whether it's an anger problem or just being around the wrong people or whatever, you know, not to mention his recent suspension because of using some sort of banned substance. We don't know what it was. He claims it was Adderall, but, you know, no one knows for sure because the league would never say that. he has baggage. So this is a risk. I believe it's a risk worth taking. I believe this is the type of program, it's been around for over a decade with proven success, that can absorb a guy like this and, you know, try to make it work. And if not, they will just as quickly jettison the guy. But I definitely think it's worth the risk. I think the popular opinion out there, because today's election day, so we're all about polling and all that stuff, I think most people, most at least Patriots fans, would agree probably worth the risk. You know, was Haynesworth and Ocho Cinco worth the risk? Yeah, even in hindsight, definitely worth the risk. I would do it again in a heartbeat. Didn't work out, but still think it's worth the risk. Paul and Andy are here, and Andy's yawning already. Am I just boring you? Just so you know.
No. Okay. Came from a boring locker room.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Not a lot going on in there.
No.
Late arrivals. Rob Ninkovich. Most interesting thing coming out of his was that he considered cleaning his gutters during the bye week, and then got up there and said, "I'm not cleaning my gutters. I rent this place."
Who said that?
Ninkovich, because I guess during the, must have been the hurricane, he said, yeah, it was overflowing, all the water was, so he's like, "I should go clean it." But then when he got up there, he realized it was a dumb idea, and he doesn't own the place.
Makes me think that I should clean mine.
What about your robot?
That thing doesn't work.
There's a shock.
No, actually, you know what? I never gave it a chance. I never used it. It's sitting there.
Well, it's not going to work.
Why?
Because if the leaves are wet, it's not going to be able to get them out.
No, right. And if there's sticks in there, it won't work either.
So it's like, yes, if there are only really light, dry leaves in there, and if those are the case, they'll blow out. The wind will take care of it.
You're
so you're screwed.
You're right.
He also said he was going to vote today, but I think he was fibbing.
Who?
Rob Ninkovich. Oh. Somebody asked him. He said, no, I haven't yet. No, I haven't yet. And I said, well, are you going to? Yeah. I think he just said, oh, there's cameras on. I should say, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not really.
I don't even think he's registered.
Any player that doesn't do absentee ballots, crazy. I mean, they should all do that.
Right, which means he would have done it already.
Right, exactly.
I don't think he's going to, like, Foxborough Middle School to vote later today.
Right.
So he fibbed.
Yep.
But that's okay. I would, too, if I were him. The cameras are on. Don't say, no, I don't vote.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address.
We have a new practice squatter.
Yeah. Alabama kid?
Jarrell Harris.
Yeah.
Is it Jarrell or Jamel?
Jarrell, I believe.
Jarrell Harris. Big kid.
Yeah.
I like his build.
Why is he Alabama linebacker, right?
Yeah,
Alabama.
So he was Hightower's teammate.
Teammate?
I'm a wordsmith. What's the word for he played with him? Teammate.
I use naivete.
Normally, we look at guys coming out of Alabama as, you know, being more than practice squatters in the NFL. What's kept this guy
not
back?
Well, all. I mean, you can't have, like, 15 starters come out of a defense.
What's kept this guy back?
I don't know. He
wasn't
that good at Alabama.
He was undrafted. I don't
like
know.
Like, he was, I mean, every team
was
has,
he a starter at Alabama?
I don't know.
Okay, so before you just start mocking everything.
No, but listen, there was Hightower.
I'm relying.
There was the defensive lineman.
Courtney Upshaw.
Upshaw. They had a bunch of very good players.
I'm relying on you for some information. All you have to say is I don't know.
But I do know. He wasn't one of the good core players at Alabama.
Okay.
I know that.
There's the answer.
But not everybody is going to be a good core player.
I said, what's kept this guy back? He wasn't one of the better players. That's the answer.
Well, I don't know what kept him back.
That's not really an answer. That's just the facts.
Okay.
That's why he wasn't drafted.
Because he wasn't one of the better players.
Right. I don't know specifically. I get it just based on his build.
Yeah.
To me, he looks like one of those tweener linebacker safeties. He's not huge, but not small. That was just my view of him in the locker room.
Okay. Well, we really don't know much about him.
No. I know nothing about him.
Okay.
Other than he went to Alabama.
What do we really care?
I don't know. I guess we could just talk about other things besides the Patriots. I mean,
I want to talk about the Patriots.
I thought this was the place where, you know,
if he played corner and I thought he could be a starting corner, I'd be more interested.
Which actually was our original thought, because when we saw the locker, he's number 45. And so we hadn't seen the player yet. So we thought, well, 45, and maybe he's a defensive back.
Right.
Maybe it's adding depth to the secondary.
Denny was big.
But Denny was too big for that.
Okay.
And we've come to find out he was a linebacker.
Also, a lot of interesting boxes in the locker room.
Yeah.
Apparently they wanted him to clean out their lockers or something, but they have these huge, what do they call, wardrobe boxes? They're like double-decker.
What do you mean they wanted them to clean out their lockers?
Well, no one told me that. I'm just assuming.
Is there like a locker room mom now?
I don't know. There were like 20 of these boxes, and you look in, and it's random stuff that looked like guys threw out of their lockers. So I think...
You think it was a clothes drive for guys to bring in clothes?
No. It's not that kind of stuff. It's just... Random gloves, shoes,
old cleats.
I think it's the equipment people saying, if you got crap in your locker, put it in these boxes so we can get rid of it, kind of thing. But I was just.
I know it might be part of a new thing the Patriots are doing. They're going to be selling used, you know, game worn stuff on the internet coming up.
I don't think it was that. I think it was just a pure clean out.
Okay.
Like random knee pads, like random.
But it could be. It could have been that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Didn't seem to be like it was being labeled or anything either, so I would say it's not that, because when you have to say this was worn by somebody.
Well, if each guy has a box, you know that.
It looks like there was a community box for four lockers. And Kenny Mayne is here doing an election voting related main event.
Yeah, those stopped being funny about 3-4 years ago.
Yeah. I only think that like one or two alternates were ever funny. He was very funny on SportsCenter, and then he hit the glass ceiling or the Peter Principle, whatever.
Yeah. What do you think, Paul?
Seems nice. Says hi to everybody.
Yeah, I like Kenny Mayne. I agree with Fred. I don't think those main events have been all that entertaining of late.
Last one I liked, I think, was the Packers backup quarterback behind Favre, who was actually the greatest quarterback ever, but no one ever knew because he never got to play.
I liked the one about the Chinese kid they did here, about our kid that was doing the Chinese website. Did you ever see that one?
No.
That was funny. It was very funny.
Nick?
Who? No. Nick was the American kid. Before Nick, we had a Chinese website, and we had a kid from MIT.
Oh, I remember him.
Yeah.
I do remember him a little bit. Yeah. It was a who or a she or a he or something.
Okay.
No, I remember because it was like a girl I went to high school. She, maybe. I went to high school with a Leslie She. Was he a she? I didn't even mean
I think you need to stop talking.
It's absolutely right.
I'm in my Joe Biden minute.
Yeah, you're just like,
Uncle Joe, just stop.
All right. I guess if you don't have any other news besides Aqib Tlaib, we should dive right in. Right?
We should talk Aqib Tlaib big time.
Yeah, no.
On a lot of levels.
But before we get there, because I think that's going to take up the show, is there anything else we need to get out of the way? There was another move, right? They brought in another practice squatter, Derek Martin.
No, he's on
the roster.
He's on the roster. Sterling Moore is back on the practice squad.
That was last week.
Right. Sterling Moore is off the roster onto the practice squad.
Right.
Derek Martin is on the team.
Okay.
He's the veteran guy who only plays for good teams like the Packers, Ravens, Giants, and Patriots over his last 6 years.
He's going for a third straight Super Bowl. He was on the Packers 2 years ago, the Giants last year.
Wow.
He's going for a third straight.
Now, can this guy play?
But he was here during training camp.
Yeah. No.
And he got cut. No. He's a special teams type.
Yeah, okay. He's not. The story of can he play in the secondary is Tlaib.
Right.
And the health.
Right.
Chung was in the locker room today, you know, so that means nothing.
Right. He's nothing at all.
But, you know, the story of the secondary is health and Tlaib. Those are the two factors.
Okay.
And Paul doesn't think Tlaib can help, right? I forget.
So here we go.
He can help.
Let's try not to have this.
He absolutely will help.
Is he the best corner on the team?
He is the best
defensive
back on the team.
We have a good discussion going upstairs. We need to fuel that.
I believe he's the best defensive back on the team.
Okay, and Fred thinks the trade only makes sense
if he's better than McCourty.
Yeah, I say considering the risk involved.
Can you term the risk?
The character issues that he's had. Not being willing to play by the rules within a team system, doing things that obviously are detrimental to the team. Okay?
I mean, now, that's one side of the story. I know he's just, but the Mangino character loved him, has good things to say about him.
I love about that. A guy with absolutely no character loves the guy that has no character.
Right, but I'm just saying, there are some
people that... Is that what you were looking for from me?
Listen, everybody's
got... Is that the kind of comment you were looking for from me?
Well, there's a next step to take in that logic.
Everybody's got a story, and I'm sure every situation, there's always two sides. But when there's a list of things...
But you need to, they're not all the same.
No.
Like, a lot of players smoke weed. You know, I don't want to kick on a guy's
grave. That he did.
No.
He did.
But, Kevin Faulk was suspended, remember? And he's one of the greatest people players that this organization's ever had.
But it was one thing.
No, and he got caught once.
Right.
So I'm a big believer that when you get caught doing something, it's not the first time you did it.
No, but I'm saying it was one instance.
No, I know. Yeah. But to me, that is separate from
I'm just talking about
punching a cabbie in the back of the head or... I actually think, from your perspective, the worst one is swinging at a teammate with a helmet.
Twice.
To me, the helmet's a big deal.
Yeah,
with
a helmet once. Yeah.
That makes it above and beyond a practice
object.
Fight.
Right.
And to me, that's the biggest issue. If you have a guy that could do that on your team for 7 weeks, I find it very unlikely he's going to fail a drug test and get suspended. I don't think it's going to happen. I find that very unlikely.
I don't think that's ever happened, has it? When a guy got suspended twice in the same season,
I don't think so.
For drugs?
So, to me, that's different. And these legal issues, as much as he's got a couple, I just don't think it's going to happen. He's on his honeymoon. To me, the one that's going to happen, if you have an anger problem and you fight on the field, well, that could happen at any time. That's something, to me, that's the biggest concern I'd have, that he takes a swing with his helmet at anyone. Devin McCourty, Vince Wilfork, Logan Mankins.
Right.
He's the most likely candidate to annoy a defensive player, right?
Right.
Well, that's, to me, the big concern there. I don't want to lump all the issues together and say the concerns. To me, that's the biggest one. The others aren't.
Well,
that
clearly,
big a
he's got something. Yeah. Because
I'm not married to him for 5 years.
Yeah,
I'm married to him for 6 weeks.
There's an anger thing. But I also think, as a head coach, I know it. Maybe you can be hardcore and say it shouldn't matter. But I think what the opinions are of the rest of my team should matter when I bring in somebody like that. And I understand these guys are adults and, everybody is entitled to a job and, we just want to win football games. But I think the guy has to be worth the risk.
But if he's not an a-hole to them, I don't think they really care.
Yeah, but I mean, they're
I don't
told,
think they sit there and philosophize about,
told,
oh, this guy did this and this. I don't think I want him
I know,
on my
but
team.
They're told you need to watch yourself off the field. You need to have good character. It's written into everybody's contract, conduct detrimental to the team.
But that's here.
That's here, right. So these guys are told, and then you bring in a guy like that. Okay, well, There has to be a really good case for that.
But they've brought in other guys like that. No, and so you've lived it if you're Wilfork, Mayo, Ninkovich. If you're the core of the team, you've lived through this a number with high-profile players and lesser-profile players as well.
Yeah, and I think you know, I just
How
think,
am I def- I feel like I'm in a weird position
yeah,
right
no,
now.
Well, I think the only thing that matters is in this case is whether or not you think he can help your team.
Right.
Right.
And that's it.
And I think all we
all
agree
stuff,
he can, correct?
All the other stuff is crap.
And I think what we were arguing or just discussing earlier upstairs was my contention is for a guy like that, the upside has to be pretty high, you know, for the risk to be worth it. And I think that the upside for Albert Haynesworth was pretty high. If you know, we all said if this guy can play, if he can focus, if he can, you know, if he's in shape, if he stays healthy, wow, he can really transform this defense. It didn't work.
And he was just done. It
right.
had nothing to do with off right. field.
See,
he
that's
was just
why
done.
I didn't think the upside was
he
high.
He was hurt.
I said
he
that
had
last
no
summer.
Desire.
I had watched the guy the previous 2 years. He did nothing.
But,
and I knew
but
he didn't do anything.
You know, I thought, and obviously they did too, that it was worth the risk. It was worth the risk bringing this guy on. You know, and my contention was upstairs where if they didn't feel that Aqib Talib was going to be better than what they've got in terms of cornerback, then why bother? You know, bring in some other slappy. You know,
well, he's not a slappy.
No, that's what I'm saying. He's not a slappy. That's why they did it. They think that he's going to be the best corner on this team.
Well, see, I disagree. Why isn't there a difference between best corner on your team and slappy?
And better than some of the guys that you have.
Okay. Yeah, well, I think...
To me, if he's your starting corner, it was worth it. Yeah. You've tried to upgrade your pass defense.
But don't,
no,
you,
I think
don't you think there could be other guys they could bring in without the issues that
no.
would be as
start?
Good?
No.
No, as good better. As the guys you have?
No.
No, they need to be better than the guys.
That's
I
what.
Have.
That's my point.
Right.
No, but
they
you're saying he has to be better than all
40.
Of them. He only has to be better than one of the guys who starts. One of the four guys who starts, he has to be better than.
Well, he has to be.
You say he has to be better than all. No,
no
he doesn't.
I think he has to be better than McCourty.
Yeah, I don't, and I don't really understand the logic.
Yeah. Then why?
To improve your defense, to improve your chances
yeah, but
of winning football games.
I don't think you're improving
game.
That much by bringing in another Dennard
but
you, or
but
bring
you're,
another
but you're improving.
Arrington.
But you're improving.
Wait a minute. No. I didn't say another Dennard. I said better than them.
Right.
But maybe not as good as McCourty. If
well,
you still believe
how much
McCourty,
better do you think McCourty is from Dennard or Arrington?
Me?
Yeah, as a corner.
Right now, I don't think much better.
That's my point.
But they obviously think differently than we do.
That's and
it's clear the way they've treated Devin McCourty that they think he's better than we think he is.
I think at one point they did, Paul, but I think as the season progressed, they've realized
if Patrick
they
Chung
need
and
help.
Steve Gregory stayed healthy, where would Devin McCourty be playing?
He would
left corner every single snap.
Right. Because of necessity.
Because they think he's better than the guys that are here.
Right, but what does that say, Paul? It's all relative.
Well, you say it doesn't matter if Talib is only better than McCourty, not better than McCourty. So obviously it's more than relative.
I say he has to be better than McCourty.
They think more of McCourty than you do.
Possibly, but I think that
well, that's I think we all agree with
that. I think
it's
inarguable.
Yeah. But I think that one of the reasons for this move is, you know, they realize that McCourty needs help. He's not our number
help.
One guy. He can't.
Oh, wait. No. There's a lot of people that think Kyle Arrington was among the worst cornerbacks in the NFL through the first half of the season. And he was your starter.
Right.
Correct?
Out of necessity.
And he got benched.
Right. So
yeah.
if Talib is better
Talib
than Arrington
better than
but
that.
Not as good as McCourty, you make this move.
Aren't you better?
Well, I think you might be a little bit better, but a little bit is a little bit better worth the risk.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I think.
What risk?
Yeah, I don't see the huge.
Yeah,
now, the only criticism
I
have is I think they paid a decent amount to get him. I think they've told us forever that picks matter, and they traded a fourth-round pick for a guy who's not under contract,
well, that's another
who
point.
Has a ton of baggage, and for all I know, Greg Schiano was going to cut when he came off suspension.
So now you're finding out what really is how they feel. You made a comment earlier about Albert Haynesworth. You said you didn't think it was a big risk. You'd do it again.
No, I said it was a risk, but a risk worth taking.
Well, all right, so it didn't work, right?
Right.
And you do it again.
Right.
So I don't understand why you think this is a big risk. You think this guy is better than the guys that you have starting. If he flames out and doesn't play for you,
you're out of
where's
fourth
the
round
risk?
Pick. No. It's not like you're committed to him for five
See,
years and a lot of money.
You're missing my point. My point is that I would do this every day plus Sunday because I think he's that good.
But where is the risk? I don't understand where the big risk is.
If he
the only risk to me is how the guys that were playing, how they react to not playing.
That's one of
That's
the
my
risks.
Only thing that I care about.
That's one of the
this
risks.
This off-field stuff, I have no doubt in my mind that what Andy said, when Andy unfolded, for 7 weeks, he's not going to get in fights.
Well,
he's not going to get suspended
I mean, I
for drugs.
That.
He's not going to do these things. This is what
I'm gambling that he won't if I'm Bill Belichick.
But if he does, what do you lose? You lost a fourth-round pick.
It's just it's a disruption. It's now I'm putting this guy out there. Then all of a sudden he lets me down. I got to
take
him out.
The only thing I would worry
it's
about
a disruption
is, you know, depending on who they choose to play and how they choose to employ everybody, people who are playing prominent roles, at least one person is probably not going to. How that affects that guy, and then in turn, who's with that guy? Does that create, let's just say for argument's sake, Kyle Arrington goes from being the starter that Andy talked about to no longer playing. He doesn't really even have a role anymore. Dennard has passed him up, and they have Tlaib in there. Tavon Wilson stays. Maybe Arrington's out. Okay, all right. You say, well, he wasn't playing well, so he deserved to lose his job. I can buy that. But maybe some of the other guys in that secondary are like, hey, you know, this isn't right what they've done to Kyle. Some of the guys who were playing. You know, maybe Devin McCourty is Kyle Arrington's best buddy. And he says, that's not right what they did to Kyle. And it bothers him. Mm-hmm. And maybe Patrick Chung is like that. I don't know. This is a huge hypothetical,
right.
You know. But that's the only risk to me, is how it impacts the players. Not whether or not he's going to get suspended again or get in trouble, because if that happens, you cut him. Everybody looks at it. That's the only risk. Well, if he gets in trouble in the NFL, it's not guaranteed. You just cut him. Well, sometimes you can have a guy like Adalis Thomas, and you just cut him, but it hurt you. He was hurting the team. He infected other people.
Right.
And that could happen with a guy like this, not from Tlaib, from the other guys who might be upset that they've lost their jobs. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, I think that's I agree with you. But I also think there are other factors that could hurt your team besides that. I mean, I know that, you know, we just care about winning. Fans, you know, they care about winning at the end of the day. But there is that mark on the organization when your guys go out and do stupid things. It hurts your brand. You know, you don't want that as
yes,
an organization.
Yes, it does hurt your brand. I agree with that. But it's not going to hurt your on-field product, and that's all.
No, it shouldn't. But
that's all Belichick cares.
If you have a strong locker room, it shouldn't.
And I think the brand is okay, personally.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think the brand has had a lot of black marks against
it. No, it hasn't. We've been fortunate.
No, well.
You know?
Yeah, I agree.
So I think, I mean, if something happens, it happens. You know, we've had Willie Andrews. We've had guys that have come through here, and they're gone. And your brand is strong enough, because your brand is Bill Belichick, Robert Kraft, Tom Brady, that. Your brand isn't the you know, 45th guy on the roster doing something stupid. The trouble with brands is when you have eight or nine of those guys, and they're like the key components of your roster, and
right.
You know, your best running back, your quarterback, you know, all these guys are dinks that are getting in trouble. That's when your brand is tarnished.
And I think that there is something, and I'm not saying on this team it's an issue, but there is something to be said about locker room chemistry and how one guy who has some swagger can influence other guys. You know,
that's what Paul's talking
about. Now, you look
at
Randy Moss. Randy Moss, as far as I'm concerned, was a great guy. But he had a lot of influence in that locker room, and a lot of it wasn't positive because he was thinking a lot about Randy Moss.
And you think he was a great guy?
Yeah, I do.
He's not a great guy.
Why?
Because great guys don't do the stuff he did.
All right, look, I don't want to get into an argument about Randy.
No, I know.
You know what I'm saying? He had a lot of influence in the locker room, and there was a point where they said, we got to get rid of this guy.
But you making the statement that Randy Moss is a great guy is why the brand isn't impacted by anything that they do.
Well, look, when I say great guy, I mean, like, he wasn't a bad person. He wasn't malicious. He didn't go out to harm people. You know, maybe he was immature. Maybe he was selfish. But he wasn't a bad person.
Well,
like some of these
I think he kind of was.
I think
really?
He kind of was, too. And not in a
murderer
kind
of
way. Like,
some
there's
of the
different
stuff that
levels.
We heard about him, you know, the arguments that he gotten in, you know, with Bill O'Brien in that Miami game. Then he went to Minnesota and he threw the buffet, you know, all that stuff.
That's not a
He's
good
a bad
person.
Guy.
That's not a murderer. It's kind of like your player thing. There's a happy medium between murderer and saint.
You know, I mean, I'll compare his rap sheet, his quote-unquote rap sheet, to Tlaib's, and Tlaib's is far worse.
Well, my
Tlaib's is in more serious situation.
And for all we know, Tlaib might be a better guy. You might spend some time around him and say, he clearly has an anger problem, but I don't think he's a bad guy.
You know, Randy Moss couldn't talk to you without referring to you as an MF-er.
Right. Whereas, like, seriously, Tlaib, we may find out, is a good guy who
has an anger problem.
Had some issues that... don't you think good people can have problems
Absolutely.
And have a rap sheet?
I'm looking at one, but, you know.
I don't have a rap sheet.
No, but you have
problems. I'm saying legitimate.
I'm not sure a good person can be, you know, involved in some of the things
but
that he's been
my point
involved.
Is, I think my point is,
shooting
you know,
at
guys
people.
Who aren't.
It's his sister.
You can't just beat him up? You got to shoot at him?
How they do it in the Tlaib family.
You know, guys can have an influence in the locker room. You know, and those guys don't always have to be the worst people in the world. They just have to, you know, have influence, and sometimes using that influence in a non-productive way can hurt a locker room.
Oh, yeah. That's far more influential to a football team if the guy is, like, late for meetings and isn't working hard.
Yeah.
And that starts to permeate other people. That's way worse for the team than a rap sheet is to the brand.
Right. Yeah. Those kind of things.
Because that's why you lose games.
To me, is where the risk is encapsulated.
Right.
You know, and we have no idea. I mean,
but we never know those.
I personally think that he's going to be fine because the situation.
Like, we didn't think Sean Springs was a bad guy, but he was a bad teammate. He was clearly a part of the problem. And Sean Springs didn't have a rap sheet. Sean Springs had a $1,000 smile and, like, Mr. ESPN and Mr. Talk to Everybody and quote.
Yep.
He was detrimental to the football team.
The short-term element of him being here. Now, if they do the same thing they did, I think, mistakenly twice with Corey Dillon and Randy Moss, if they keep this guy around, I think you're asking for trouble.
I mean, beyond this season.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so let's just talk about strictly on the field. What are we all in agreement that he should be the number one corner? Are we in agreement with that?
I am.
Not necessarily sold on that.
Okay.
And part of it is the whole, he's a man cover guy. As long as you just let him cover the other team's best receiver, you're fine. That's not what we do. So are we going to be fine?
Well, the reason why, is it the reason why we didn't do that? Because we didn't have a guy that could do that?
We didn't do it with Ty Law.
And now that we have,
I'm pretty sure Ty Law could do it. Ty Law wanted to do it.
But we also had different other players around Ty Law. Having a guy that can cover as a head coach, Bill Belichick, do you let him do what he does best?
Maybe. You haven't, so I don't know.
Well, why do you bring him in if not? If that's what the scouting report is.
Because maybe he thinks he's more than that. I'm just saying
Belichick thinks he's more than that.
You've already said that you think, you know, his assessments of corners are different than yours and mine.
Right.
Based on McCourty.
Okay.
So he may look at it differently, but there's no question he can cover. He's an upgrade in talent. And maybe Bill believes in 2 weeks I'll have him playing decent zone coverage, or I'll have him fitting in.
Yeah.
But that's my concern, is I think Bill has a lot of confidence a lot of times bringing guys in that he's going to make them work. I don't know whether it will work.
Because he's more of just man-to-man guy, and that's...
Yeah. Well, I also thought he was overrated as a player. I don't think he's as good as his 20th pick in the draft. I don't think he's a Pro Bowl talent necessarily. I think he's a starting talent. And to me, that's kind of gets into your thing. Is it worth it if he's not a Pro Bowl talent? Because no one's going to argue he's not Darrell Revis. He's not Champ Bailey.
Right.
He's the next tier down at the very least, which is maybe he's a borderline Pro Bowler. I don't even think he's a Pro Bowler. I think he's a starting corner. I thought he was overrated coming into the draft, so I'm maybe hindered by my own kind of preconceived notions of him dating all the way back to that.
But I think that what we all agree on is that, contrary to what people have been telling us for the first 8 weeks of the season, the secondary wasn't very good, and they needed to do something about it. And this was, you know, we all talked about this. You know, we got a million questions, a million callers asked us, what cornerbacks are out there? Who can they get at the trading deadline? And we sort of all said the same thing. You're not going to be able to get somebody unless there's a big-time problem.
Unless you have this discussion.
And this is what it is. And I think that you make this move every time. Yeah, I think you have to.
Well,
because
I love
a better
the move
player.
Out of that aspect. Just, right. I have a glaring need.
And I was able
there was
to
an
fill
option
it.
To fill my glaring need. I went and filled it.
Right.
I love that aspect of it. I always will love that. As much as it leads to debate, the brand and the off-field and all that, the fact that you see an issue and you try to address it with the best you can, I love that aspect.
No, as like I said before, as a fan, you should really be most concerned with just winning football games. And I think as a fan, you got to love this.
And on some level,
you
should. Now, we actually had this discussion upstairs with one of the workers in the office. And, you know, where does that end? And we actually asked this person, if you knew you were going to win the Super Bowl with Jerry Sandusky as your head coach, would you want Jerry Sandusky as your head coach?
No.
And this person said yes.
Oh, God.
So, again, there are extremes that I want to – I think you do need to have some – even as a fan, yes, wins is all you want. You want your team to win. But wouldn't it be cheapened if you were rooting for people you didn't really...
Oh, absolutely.
...had left a bad taste
in
your mouth?
Yeah, I do.
So there is kind of a... There's something there to be analyzed with every move.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know who this person was, but...
You know him well.
Really?
You do. He works for you.
He sort of backed off that after a while, but I'm not so sure he didn't do it out of...
I think he only backed off because of, like, the disbelief that we had that he would actually answer that.
Right.
But I think it was a move that, you know, you had an opportunity to make, and they don't come along all that often.
No.
Because
– And no one saw this one coming, right?
Well, no one did.
Yeah.
And I just think that there's such abnormal circumstances to have a talented player who was either in a contract dispute or disgruntled, which is exactly the way we described it. We said, like Randy Moss when we dealt him in 2010, those don't come around a lot. You know, right. There's usually a reason why a guy with talent is available.
And you have to have the willing partners, which obviously Schiano and Belichick, you know, are. They have that open line of communication.
So, you know, that to me was, it's a unique circumstance, and it doesn't come around, you know, it's not once in a lifetime, but it doesn't come around every year either. And you saw the rest of the trading deadline, there were very minor moves.
Nothing, really.
This was the only one of any circumstance.
As far as the compensation, fourth round pick, Patriots get a seventh round pick plus Tlaib. What do you think about that? The right price? I mean,
I think it's a little.
They
too
were kind of stuck, right?
Because yeah, they didn't have a fifth or a sixth,
right.
So they had to. They if
and
they
I'm
wanted
sure
the player,
Schiano
they
wanted
to
pick
it.
This year. He didn't want to push it off and say I'll take a sixth next year.
How good does Tlaib have to be warrant that draft pick?
I think if he's good, if he's your good starting corner, then it was worth it. Because you trade for a good starting corner. You don't know what a fourth-round pick is going to be. So if he's a good starter, he doesn't have to be better than McCourty, but if he's one of my two starters, he makes my secondary better, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, but again,
that'll be more than Johnson and Haynesworth.
But I don't want to belabor the
point,
he
had no
but
problem
forgetting
with.
About what we think Belichick thinks, as far as you're concerned, you don't think he has to be better than McCourty?
No, why are you hung up on that?
But do you think he's better than McCourty as a corner?
I do.
That one's tough for me because McCourty has been really bad for a year and a half now.
But if he's not better than McCourty as a corner, aren't we in the same boat that we've been in?
No, because he's better than Arrington.
This is the part I don't understand.
I feel like I'm beating my head against a brick wall.
I know, but it's not like McCourty isn't getting burned.
I'd rather they can only burn one and not two.
Why can't they?
Or, If I can upgrade one of the four or five guys that are getting burnt, I feel better.
No, but if your best guy's getting burned, right, all the other guys are getting burned too. And if the guy you bring in is no better than the best guy who's getting burned, he's going to get burned as
all
well.
Right, let me ask you this.
You know what I'm saying?
In your opinion, is McCourty getting burned?
Yes.
Is Arrington getting burned?
Yes.
Is one better than the other? Is McCourty better than Arrington?
Slightly.
Okay. So he's better than Aaron.
Now, wait a minute.
I'm not
just
done
talking
with you.
About covering. I'm not talking about all-around football players.
I'm not done with you.
Okay.
So you think McCourty's slightly better than Arrington?
Right.
Okay. So now if you have Tlaib come in, and he's better than Arrington, now you're slightly better than you were.
But I'm not as good as the guy getting burned above me, McCourty.
But you're better than the other guy getting burned worse than McCourty. So you have improved.
You didn't ask me that question. Who's getting burned worse?
You just said McCourty's better than Arrington.
I said they're both getting burned.
And McCourty's better than Arrington, you said. And if you don't believe that, that's fine. That would be your opinion.
Right,
if you don't believe McCourty's better than Arrington, that's fine.
I think he's slightly better, but it's
okay,
not that
so
much.
Okay, so he's not getting burned as often as Arrington then.
I don't have the numbers, but I might be wrong on that too.
I'm not talking about numbers, Fred. You said that McCourty's better than Arrington.
Slightly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if Tlaib is better than Arrington, he's closer to McCourty than Arrington is.
But
so you have two players that are
two players
that are better,
get burned.
But less often than you would if you stayed the same.
Why?
Because the other guy
better.
Wasn't as good as the guy that you are replacing them with.
No, it's just a matter of opportunities to get burned. I don't know if
there will be less because he's better. It may be one per game less, but he's better.
Yeah.
You've admitted he's better.
I'm not sure it's that much to make a difference, honestly.
Okay, you can make that argument,
yeah.
But you're better.
Yeah. I don't think it's that much to make a difference. My hope is that Tlaib is that much better than McCourty to make a difference. To make a difference.
Well, that's the hope.
Right.
The hope is, yes, he comes in, and he's the guy that has 18 career interceptions,
right.
And he's not the problem child, and he doesn't get hurt, because that's another issue that gets
glossed
over.
If he's not as good as McCourty, then it won't make a difference.
Yeah, I don't know that.
But you need him to be blowing McCourty away.
No.
Yes, because if it doesn't matter if he's only a little better than Arrington, it doesn't matter if he's only a little better than McCourty. Because
well,
Arrington and McCourty, in your mind, are basically the same.
Yeah.
There's only a slight difference. So if he's got to be way better than McCourty for this to work out.
Yeah, he's got to be better than McCourty. There's no doubt.
You don't believe your own crap.
I don't get it. We all can agree you made your defense better, correct?
If he's better than McCourty,
in my opinion.
No, why do you have to say that?
Because it's true.
He's better.
If he's no better than the guys we have, he doesn't make us better.
No. I'm saying he's better than all the guys he have, except maybe one, and you say he has to be better than all of them.
No, I absolutely think he's got to be better than McCourty, or else we're in the same boat.
So you, if you added a player to your offense that wasn't better than Tom Brady, it wouldn't improve your offense? Like, I don't understand that whole, like, there's 11 guys on the field. If I make one of them better, I'm better. Right? I don't understand why he has to be better than all of them.
The problem with the Patriots in that secondary is coverage. And if he can't cover any better than the guy who's already getting burned, you're still getting burned.
Arrington.
Don't you see?
Yes, but why is it just McCourty? Why is it not Arrington, too?
Don't you see that there's a little bit of...
Can we get some fans to call in and yell at Fred?
Because McCourty is my best guy who's getting burned, who's still getting burned.
But Fred, all right, let me put it...
If McCourty was holding his own... Then I would say, yeah, if this guy's better than number two.
Has McCourty been as bad as he was last year? Because I don't think he has.
I don't think he has either. But I don't think he's been great, but I don't think he's been as bad as he was last year. But let me ask you
this,
Fred.
You're holding a year and a half against McCourty more so than a half year.
I'm trying to figure out this whole second best
bet. Maybe I'm being too tough on McCourty.
I don't think you're being too tough on McCourty. I think you're just missing the fact that if Tlaib is better than the other guy who plays, he's made you better. You're just missing that. Let me give you this as an example.
Yeah, it's like if you're both
Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez, okay? Gronkowski's the best tight end in football. Arrington's pretty good, but he's not Gronkowski. Hernandez has been out. Did I say Arrington? I'm sorry. Hernandez has been out. Okay? So instead, you've had Daniel Fells in Hooman. Now, if Hernandez returns, he's not better than Gronkowski, but he's better than Hooman and Fells. Does that make you better? Of course it does.
Yeah, but they're producing, Paul. You're talking about.
No, I think the better comparison is right and left tackle. And I'm not going to go specifics with players, but you believe if both your tackles can't block and your quarterback's getting hit from both directions, that there's no point in upgrading one because he'll just get sacked from the other one, right? That's basically what you're saying.
If the upgrade means he's not getting sacked from that side, then it is worth upgrading.
But you're admitting he's better than Arrington, right? Tlaib, I'm saying.
Yes.
So you're better. The tackle comparison, whether you stop all the sacks or just one, you're better.
But my point is that right now, the way they're playing, the difference between McCourty and Arrington is like minimal. It's you know, now you're saying
A,
it is,
I don't necessarily agree with that. I think McCourty's been better this year.
I can't believe that you would say that.
I think compared to last year, McCourty has gotten much better, and I think Arrington is much worse than he was last year. And I don't think he was that good last year when he was just catching passes that hit him in the chest.
Like I said, I might be too hard on McCourty at this point, and there may be.
But I can move past that. All I'm saying is you're better. And we have a team that you thought before this trade, I'm assuming, this was a Super Bowl contender.
Correct.
Okay. So you've.
Even without the trade, I do.
No, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
So you've improved a Super Bowl contender in a year when we said. There's no dominant teams in this league. So if you get better, you have a better chance against mediocre competition of going to the Super Bowl and winning a Super Bowl.
Again, my premise is that the difference between right now these cornerbacks in terms of coverage,
you don't take marginal improvement.
There isn't a big difference. And so if this guy is lumped in with all of them, he becomes yet another guy who has a hard time covering.
We're not lumping him in with all of them.
I think he's better than the guys we have.
We're saying that beyond your Pro Bowl first round corner, he's the second best defensive back.
Let me ask you this.
That's what we're saying.
What was the difference between winning and losing in the three games? 4 points. You're telling me that a slight improvement can't be the difference between a point and a game?
If he can't have Darrell Revis, he doesn't want anyone, damn it.
Last year, what was the difference between winning the Super Bowl and losing it? One drive. One play. Somebody in the secondary needed to make one play. Even a slight improvement over Kyle Arrington, according to you, isn't worth it. I mean, that's not enough?
Yeah, not enough.
Okay.
It's got to be, you know, in order to help this team.
Playing the role of Paul Perillo today and being the most stubborn man alive is Fred Kirsch.
Yeah, I mean.
Might want to go to the calls because Dockery in Florida wants to save Fred.
Obviously, you think that there is a big difference between Arrington. There's a gap in there that an improvement over Arrington definitely improves us in coverage. And I'm saying there isn't a big gap there. That both guys are having trouble, and if I put in a guy in between a guy having trouble and another guy having trouble, I have a guy having trouble.
But you're better.
No, they're still having trouble.
No,
but
you're better.
Having you're less just, than the other guy
You
was.
Just admitted he's better.
No, my top guy is having as much trouble as anyone else.
It doesn't matter. You're better. If you assign numbers to them and one guy is a 32 and one guy's a 30 and one guy's a 29, if you add 32 and 29, it's less than 32 and 30.
There comes a point of diminishing return. Now, I don't think that...
What?
I don't think Tlaib is like that. I think he is better than everybody we have. That's why he's going to help. That's why he's going to help, because he's better than all of them. That's why he's going to help.
You can argue that. I just, if he's better than some
Thank
of
you.
Them, he's
Thank you. Thank you, Let's see what Donkey
makes
has
no
to
sense.
Say. Donkey, you're on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Go ahead.
Yeah, Freddie, this is Donkey, like hee-haw.
Oh, okay, hee-haw, yeah. Donkey.
Yeah.
Don't be an ass.
I love you all dearly, but quite frankly, Freddie, I think your septic tank is too close to your well. it was well worth a chance, and I'm thrilled. I would take a chance on him any day.
Well, wait a minute. Who said it wasn't worth the chance?
Well, you said if he's not better than McCourty, it's not worth it.
And I think he is. Who said it wasn't worth the chance?
The
wait a minute. Donkey, who said it wasn't worth the chance?
Well, you don't think that he's going to be significantly better
no,
than Arrington?
No, I just said I think he is. And I think they think he is, and that's why they did it. And I started the show by saying I do this every day and on Sunday. So I did say it's worth the chance.
Why are you yelling?
Well, reluctant, though, if you thought he wasn't better than McCourty.
No, my point is that they must feel the same way as I do, that he's going to be better than what they have. That's why it's worth the chance, and that's why they did it. I agree with them. And I said they must think that in order to do it. That's my point.
I don't think they think he's better than McCourty.
Well, I think they do.
It'll be interesting, but it was well worth it.
I agree with you there.
Secondary.
All right.
Hopefully it will be an improvement anyway, guys.
Okay.
I think you're well.
Next time, listen to what I say. Chester, what's going on? Line. Chester's from Portland, Oregon.
Just my luck to follow a donkey into a lion. Guys, I love this move. Love it, love it, love it. And I think, you know, guys, you got to think a little bigger here. This changes some culture for me. You know, it finally sends a message to the secondary that if you can't get the job done, we're going to look elsewhere. You know, I saw this coming a little bit, you know, by listening to some talk amongst, you know, some of my guys. And just, you know, this, to me, finally tells our secondary, if you can't cut it, we're going to do whatever we got to do to figure it out. This year, finally, we're getting performance-based. You know, as far as Arrington being offended, I mean, this guy gets burnt harder than Jeff in Vegas Monday morning looking at the sports book.
Wow.
I mean, you know, give me a break. We've really got to make sure that this attitude.
Where were all of these guys 4 weeks ago?
You look at the film with Tlaib. The guy turns his head. I mean, just that alone makes him better than the rest. You know, I think the front seven is going to benefit because finally some opposing quarterbacks are going to have some respect, hopefully, for the secondary. But, you know, in my opinion, we got nothing else to do but to try and grasp for straws. And I think this is a really calculated move. Anyway. Onward we go. Let's win.
All right, Chester. Thanks for the call. Chester from Oregon chiming in.
So is everybody assuming that it's Chung and Gregory at safety with McCourty and Tlaib at corner? Is that the assumption that everybody's going? That's what I would do, but I don't.
That's what I would do.
Seems like a lot of people think
McCourty's
at safety.
But I don't think that's what they're going to do. I think they're going to put McCourty at safety. I would do what you said.
And have Dennard play the other corner?
That's what I think that Bill's going to do. But I wouldn't do that. I would do McCourty with Tlaib.
If that's happening, then Tlaib is significantly better than McCourty. Because to me, a corner is more valuable than a safety.
And who's your other safety with McCourty?
Whoever's healthy. I don't know. I would rather have Gregory out there.
You would have Gregory over Chung?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So Chung.
I think Chung's a coverage liability.
So then, but when does he come in? Because
who isn't in the secondary?
But when does he come in? Because other than he's not eligible for the nickel anyway, either, right? Chung?
I don't know, running situations?
Well,
I don't know.
But that's, so when do you use Chung? You're
running situations.
On first down, right?
Chung could certainly play the money position.
Yeah, and he doesn't have to, like, never see the field. I'm just saying if I go with my four best, I would go with what Andy said. I would have Tlaib and McCourty as my cornerbacks and Chung and Gregory as my safeties. I think that Bill is going to use Dennard at corner and McCourty at safety and probably have a rotation back
there.
You
don't think he'd bring Dennard in at nickel? Have Dennard be the nickel guy and have Gregory and Chung as your safety?
He might.
Yeah.
I mean,
don't know.
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
I would have McCourty stay at corner. I just get the impression, based on the stuff that I've read and some of the things that I've heard, that they like McCourty at safety. Like that comment that Bill made after the Jets game that I thought was ridiculous at the time and still do, about how they did a nice job of keeping everything in front of them, to me was sort of setting the stage for this is why I want McCourty back there. I think he keeps everything in front of him. When Mark Sanchez had his one and only really productive passing day of 2012, you know, just torching them all, in all areas of the field, deep outs, deep ins, slants, in cuts, You name it. They didn't complete any go routes. That was it. So if you want to credit the safety for that, the safeties didn't make any plays in that game.
If I still think if he moves him to safety, then Bill bungled this whole offseason, because you should have been more aggressive at corner. Your top priority in free agency was a safety, and one of your top priorities in the draft was a safety in Wilson and Gregory. Shouldn't it have been different if you had this inclination? And if you believe Greg Bedard, they've wanted him to be a safety all along. It just didn't work out that way. Not a good offseason, then, if that's how this plays out. Because, yeah, I just don't see the value in that. I saw Paul was on with Andy Gresh last night, and people are claiming it made Paul look skinny being next to Andy Gresh. But I also saw Gresh basically say that Gregory blows, and it was a major free agent bust. I don't know how you can say that.
I didn't buy that.
I mean, how many games has he played? Four? Maybe? I don't know how you can make that assessment of the first four games of a guy's new career.
Except for that Buffalo game, has he really had any bad plays, Gregory?
Right. Yeah, I think that's a big jump. But if you believe that, and if that's true, that he sucks that bad, well, you really blew this offseason. That's a bad offseason. And Wilson's obviously had his troubles. I'm not going to say he sucks either based on two bombs that he gave up on, you know, plays. But, yeah, the only thing that really stuck out to me yesterday from Bill was not so much where McCourty's going to be, but the fact that he wants some consistency back there. And I've been arguing that for weeks. Put some guys out there and see if they can play. Pick four or five guys, cut the bench down. Not 1 week Arrington's benched, the next week he's back as my starter. 1 week Cole's not an option, the next week he's a major option. 1 week Moore is not an option, the next week he's a major option. Find me your five or six DBs.
I know.
And play them.
I agree. Part of the problem has been that safety, the injury situation, the safeties. You know, when you open up, when those guys are out, you can't just bring up the next safety, because the next safety isn't necessarily, you know, your next best guys. That's why he's moving McCourty around and doing all that. What was that?
I don't know. You got really loud.
Yeah. Why did I all of a sudden get loud?
You got a boost from your lunch.
You hit. Oh. You know, so I think injuries have played a role, but I agree. And just like the offensive line, you got to have, it's communication back there.
Right. And there's some people that think that's been McCourty's problem for a year and a half, that he never knows who he's playing with at safety. He has no confidence in his safeties, that the communication isn't there with the safeties, because it was the same thing last year. Once they started having injuries, it was Slater, it was, you know, week to week, my guy, Sergio Brown. Yeah. And there's probably something to that. I mean, I'm a big believer that covering in the NFL is hard, especially when you play zone, and especially when you don't know who you're passing a guy off to. I mean, I think that's a difficult thing.
It does. I mean, we always think that, you know, when a big play happens, and it's not just the Patriots, you see the safety of the corner looking at the other guy, hands up, you know, and we think they're looking for scapegoats. But there are times when somebody blew it.
I
thought you were going to do this, and you didn't do it. You know,
you have this.
Now, you shouldn't display it on the field,
right,
but it happens.
But you have this, I mean, large field with these large zones that guys are supposed to just be able to seamlessly cover when the wide receiver leaves the corner zone and he gets into the safety. I always thought zone coverage is, like, really hard. You know, it's one thing in basketball. What's the furthest away you can be in basketball when you're running a zone? You know, 10 feet, maybe?
Right.
On a football field, you can be 20 yards away.
Well,
from something that's technically part of your zone, basically.
And I understand the Patriots' numbers are really, really bad. And I'm not here to try to defend the secondary, you know, over
no
the top.
No cream on that makeup.
But if you look around and you watch, you know, the bye week was an opportunity to sort of watch some other games. You know, everybody looks and says, oh, you know, it's 3rd and 11. They got the Patriots right where they want them. Well, you know what? So does every other team in the league. You know, third downs get converted at a ridiculous rate in that league by good offenses. You know, the Patriots offense, they're up around, they're close to 50%. And Green Bay is like that when they're clicking. And I don't know what the numbers are this particular season. I'm just saying in general. New Orleans, Green Bay, you know, Peyton Manning's Colts, you know, when he was there. The Giants with Manning. You know, look at all the third downs they converted in the Super Bowl. Again, I mean, that's what teams do. Good offenses, they're used to, you know, not just going boom, 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 touchdown. Sometimes they got to go 12 plays, touchdown. And that's what good offenses do. And you look at the completion percentages for these guys in the league now.
Upwards to 70%.
I mean, it's amazing how many of these guys, I mean, Andrew Luck completed over 60%, throwing for 433 yards last week, making his eighth start. I mean, that's just the way it is now.
Yeah.
Passes get complete. It's so hard. It's like Andy said, it's so hard to stop. And again, I'm not trying to just sweep everything under the rug.
Sound I know like
the,
me.
The Patriots have been 32nd and 31st for running on 3 years now.
Right.
So I'm not trying to sweep the problems under the rug. Bill has done a bad job, in my opinion.
It's tough to do, but you don't want to be the worst at it.
No, right? I know that. I know that. Right. And they have been the worst.
Right.
But I also think part of the reason why they're the worst at it is because they're always winning, and that racks up some yards. And teams,
he really has become the
and teams do that.
Who put Pete Shepard inside like Paul's
Paul.
Body?
I like this new Paul. He even voted today, right? This is new Paul.
It's not the first time I've ever voted. It's the first time in a while.
You
I've
told
voted.
Me you had never voted before.
I don't vote often.
But you did today.
I thought that I might make.
Congratulations.
I thought I could make a difference in the senatorial.
Good news out of Orlando, Florida. Dale Earnhardt died.
Usually my fallback is it doesn't matter in this state. And I largely still agree with that. But I do think the Senate race is going to be very tight. And who knows how many it's going to be?
In any event, I like it. I like the new Paul.
And I don't have to sit here and espouse my views
being
all day
reasonable about
like the
pass
rest of
coverage
you obnoxious
voting.
People.
Yeah.
Well,
don't be so hard on the secondary.
I'm not. But see, I don't want it to come off that way.
That's how it came off.
Because they have been.
Oh, we get
like,
leads, and the other team tries to throw.
No, but Fred said it right. No matter, it's hard
do,
for everybody,
them?
But you don't want to be the worst. And you know what? We've been the worst.
Yeah.
3 years in a row.
Yeah.
Basically.
And, you know, you can allow third down conversions, but they don't have to be 46-yard conversions or 50-yard
well,
conversions.
Well, see, that would be my thing about
this
year.
That's a new thing. That's a new thing.
It's a new suck.
Right, right.
They've added a new way
well,
of suck.
Just so you know, it was a new suck last year that they've topped this year.
Right.
They're on pace to top their record last year.
All right. WebRadioPatriots.com, 508-298-0039 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Jordan's on the phone. We'll get to him right after this.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G0 19 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock now. Remember, we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance with over 100 ASC certified master technicians on staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment, plus easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out the everyday low prices on Bridgestone tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. This approval solely for the purpose of evaluating compliance with Bridgestone's co-op policy. This approval does not in any way constitute, and Bridgestone expressly disclaims, any legal opinion or representation that the ad complies with any applicable laws, rules, or regulations.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of
really,
that game?
It was really, really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery. Remember
but they
that?
Take that field out, you know.
In trays.
Yes, they do. But right. It stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
I really am. I can't help it.
I thought it too.
No,
not to make it. You didn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts.
Jesus.
Well, the end zones were soggy.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. The Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. If you want to call in, Jordan did. He's from Florida. Hey, Jordan, what's up? You want to talk about Aqib Talib?
Yeah, guys. I know we should, heed the advice of the Brady and Belichick. Let's focus on the Bills this week. But obviously, everybody's talking about the Aqib Talib acquisition here. And
well, it's only Tuesday, so we're not on the Bills quite yet.
Yeah. Everything. I'm all in favor of it. I mean, I think from everything that I've listened to, pretty much most people are. Giving the kid a chance. Everybody's got the well. If he stays out of trouble off the field, it's going to be great. And I do agree. I mean, I think he's definitely better than what we have. So I think it's a good acquisition. You know, Belichick takes chances. He's got the history of getting people to perform for him. So, we'll see how it turns out. I'm definitely excited for it. Let's hope he doesn't go out and get arrested next Tuesday. But, we'll see. The one question that I had for you guys is everything that I've been listening to and reading and whatnot is, like I said, most people are on board for it. But a lot of people haven't really heard anyone commit to what the Patriots will do if he comes in and plays lights out and keeps his nose clean. Let's say he takes them deep into the playoffs and has a remarkable run for the next, 7 weeks, 8 weeks here, and even further possibly. Do you think the Patriots will... they'll take a chance and try and re-sign him and keep him around, because I think if they did, that would probably be another risk too. I think the kid's going to have to keep his nose clean if he wants a chance in the NFL anymore.
I think
it's a good opportunity.
I think it's a good question. The question is, what will the market be for this guy? And you would like to think that other teams would have the same precautions the Patriots would have, but the Patriots would have a little leverage, saying, "Look what happened. You came on here, you bought into our team." And, whether we won the Super Bowl, got deep in the playoffs, this can happen a lot here. So let's do a deal. Let's have that contract detrimental to the team language in there very strong, so that if you do stray, we're going to recoup any type of bonus we give you. But I think they should look at it. Why not? Why not?
You'd have to know the circumstances at the time. But
Under no circumstances.
I said upstairs there would be a 0% chance of it happening. I'll say it's 1%, and the only – The exception I'll make is if he were somehow to be like what you described and just says, well, Belichick saved my career and he wants to stay here at all costs, and it was no signing bonus and minimums.
Oh, well,
because that way I can
0% chance.
So that's I'll make it a 1%. But if I'm not willing to give him any guaranteed money in any shape or form, that's what you did with Dylan. It blew up. That's what you did with Moss. It blew up. I don't want to do it again. I have no interest in having a guy have control by giving him guaranteed money.
By the time it blew up with Moss, it wasn't a lot of dead money left. I mean,
it was a year later. You kept him, but it blew up in the middle of 09. You kept him.
Yeah. I don't know.
He was a problem in 08, in retrospect, that we found out later. We knew he was a problem in 09.
And do you really think they're regretting what they gave Dylan?
Yes.
Really?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, it was a bad contract.
It didn't crush the franchise.
No.
You'd say, I probably like to have that back.
But that's what Tully Bantakane was.
Yeah.
Right. They're not going to crush you.
Not a crusher. But this wouldn't be a crusher.
There's good moves and bad moves. Those were both bad moves.
Right. But
name a good move they've made in the secondary.
But you don't think it's even worth, any type of bonus money for the guy?
Not me.
Okay. I would. I mean, I'd have to see how this all plays out.
Right.
What the attitude is. What the if he feels beholden to Belichick and's like, wow, this is where I fit in. This structure, whatever it is.
Like Randy.
Maybe he gets Josh Boyer. Maybe he hits it off with him. For all
I'm
I know.
I'm open to it. I'm open.
I am
to
too.
It.
I would never close the door until now. I'm not paying him huge money. I'm not taking $50 million risk on him, which is, good cornerback money. That's kind of what the going rate is.
At 5 years?
It's 5 years, $50 million.
Is that what it is?
Maybe it's maybe 7 years. I don't know. But it's $50 million is the ballpark for a good corner. The Brandon Carr type contract.
Yeah.
I would consider, a $12 million signing bonus or something in there with certain parameters. And you're right. The contract would be structured.
Maybe it's roster bonuses. So
yeah,
it's year to year.
But you never know. I mean, you never know how Bill's going to hit it off with somebody and how it's going to work.
Yeah.
And now, I think it's a smaller, it's probably 75% chance it's one and done. He's gone. 25% chance maybe it works out. Because the problem is what you said. If it works and they go deep in the playoffs and he plays well, then his market value went up.
True.
So his inclination, even if he likes it here, is, but I can get $40 million there, not 25 or whatever.
Right.
So if he plays the perfect soldier, then he's probably going to get more money elsewhere.
Right. Jordan, is that good for you?
Yeah. I think that sounds good. Obviously, I would certainly want to see some sort of, written into the contract to cover ourselves so it doesn't blow up in our faces. But I do think it would be worth extending him, especially if he comes in here and falls into the Belichick system. And, you tend to find, at least in my experiences, when decent people with good character are up against the wall with their backs to the wall, that's when they tend to shine, If you're playing for everything, that this kid, obviously, he's got to understand that this is his shot right here to not only play for a future contract with any team, but jump into an organization right now where, it's tops in the NFL. So I'm either way, whether he stays or goes, I think we're going to see, and I'm hoping we're going to see him really realize that he needs to put his best foot forward and produce for this defense, which is, in desperate need of someone to show up in the secondary. So.
All right. Thanks for the call, Jordan.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Like, let's compare it to Aaron Hernandez, who was not on draft boards for specifically the Atlanta Falcons. Wasn't on their board. Thomas Dimitroff comes from here, that whole thing. And now the Patriots handed him, $42 million a couple years later. Like, that's one team that wanted no part of him, and another team that early in his contract is so convinced that he's their guy that they're, and he was emotional about it with Mr. Kraft. You didn't have to do this. Now he's having a kid. I mean, you just never know how circumstances are going to play out.
Both sides.
And I'm not comparing his, he had a drug problem. He, based on the reports, he failed multiple tests. I don't know what else went into that. I find it a little weird that teams for a couple drug failures would just completely take him off their board. So I wonder if other teams had different worries, concerns, information. But in a short period of time, he's become a foundation of this team that you're willing to commit to long term.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. Sometimes they work out. You have no way of knowing. The other part of it.
He screwed up in college and in the pros. So
the other part of it is it has nothing to do with any language and any contracts. Like, what would you have gotten back based on some language in a contract from Corey Dillon?
Well, it depends on
how much you gave him.
It depends on how much you gave him up front.
No. You wouldn't have gotten anything back. He didn't do anything.
In that case, yeah.
I mean, there's nothing. There's no language. Like, everybody just thinks that the guy's going to get arrested and then you want to get your money back. Well, it's not always cut and dried. It's, bad guys. Like, he said something at the end of that, a guy with character is going to recognize the opportunity that he has. And that's when I said, because I don't think the guy is a high character guy. based on his 5 years in football. Now, I've never met him. It's probably unfair for me to say that. I don't know him. I don't know him. I have no idea. Someone accused me of letting my personal biases get in the way of this, too. I've never met Aqib Talib. It's nothing personal. I'm just going off of the facts of what's happened to him as a pro. And I think Andy makes a good distinction. Kids sometimes do stupid things.
Yeah.
And we all did stupid things in college. But you'd like to think that at some point you grow up and someone says, recognize the opportunity that he has. Well, he didn't recognize it as a rookie when he got in a fight at the rookie symposium. He didn't recognize it after that when he got in another fight with a teammate, which is one of the most egregious things you can do as a football player, is fight another one of your fellow. I mean, a real fight. I'm not talking about a scuffle on training camp. You take a helmet and swing it at somebody and hit somebody else and crack his skull open. That, to me, is a pretty bad offense. Then two arrests away from the field, two different suspensions from the league, and this is all in four and a half years.
Right.
He didn't recognize the opportunity he had in front of him on any of those. You know, coming in this year, I think the parallels with Tampa Bay and the Patriots when Belichick got here are extremely similar. And Belichick looked at Terry Glenn and said, I never coached Terry Glenn. I haven't seen him since 96. I was never his head coach. I remember in 96, he was a good kid.
Yep.
I think he has some problems, but I think I can work with this kid. I'm gonna wipe the slate clean, and I'm going to give him every opportunity to be a key part of my team. And he got a little bit banged up, if you remember the hamstring problem that he had.
Oh, I remember.
And then he came back and played. Remember, he was lights out that game against San Diego, mm-hmm. I want to say. He was Terry Glenn of old. He was unbelievable. And Bill's looking at it like, wow, I stuck with this guy, and I'm going to have him. Then the hamstring flared up again, and it was the whole season. And finally, can you play? Can you not play? Are you malingering? What is the deal?
Indeed.
Did you want to play? Do you not want to play? And Bill had no alternative but to suspend him.
Right.
And he did it. That's what Shiano just did with Aqib Talib. He came in and said, I know all these things that happened with you, but I'm here now, and I can be different. I can make it different.
Right. Let's start over.
We're going to start over. And by all accounts, it was working. He had... Based on what the Tampa Bay guys, Rick Stroud, I heard from the Tampa Tribune, say he had a great offseason. They convinced him to stay in Tampa during the summer, and evidently that's when he gets into a lot of his trouble, is when he goes back home to the Dallas area. So he stayed in Tampa for the summer. It was a good element in the locker room during the course of the offseason program, and then he gets suspended. Yep. You know, at some point, you got to stop making excuses for these guys.
Right.
You know, and I think that's all everybody has been doing with it. You know, he's a good kid. He's just competitive.
And well, if you're a first-year coach...
I know a lot of competitive guys that don't smash their teammates with helmets.
Right. And if you're a first-year coach, you can't do that. You don't have...
Yeah, I think Shiano played it right. I think Belichick played the Terry Glenn thing perfect.
But
I think
the question is,
absolutely right.
Was he going to cut him? That would be my question.
Was he going to cut him after he got off his suspension? Yeah.
Yeah, but then anybody would have shot at him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think what he did was he played it perfectly. He ended up getting a fourth-round pick for him.
Oh, God, yeah.
I think he might have.
But would anybody else have traded for him?
Otherwise, he might have suspended him the way he suspended, the way that Bill suspended Glenn, if he continued to be a problem.
And that's the other thing. I don't know what kind of problem he was for Tampa, because my guess is a lot of guys are taking drugs they shouldn't and that they don't get caught. Like, for all I know, he's been a model citizen. He had this discussion with Shiano, I need you to be X, Y, and Z, and... He was perfect, except something that he'd probably been doing before and never got in trouble for suddenly popped up on a drug test.
Well, I think he had a team, it was 3-4, now that, you know, they're on the brink of, you know, having a winning record or not. And
They've played well.
Yeah.
I mean, and if you look at the game that they threw away, too. They had the big lead against the Giants. They could be 5-3 instead of 4-4.
And as you mentioned in your edit letter, Fred, he decided Kellen Winslow wasn't a part of the Shiano way, but Kellen Winslow was good enough to be part for a short time of the Belichick way.
Right.
That's another kind of weird circumstance of new coach, old coach, established, not yet established.
Yep. And I don't need to criticize anybody for that either, because I think there is a difference between the new guy who says, I don't want to necessarily, I'm going to be here and I don't want to make this guy stick around and conform to my way. I'm going to wipe it clean and start. I need to start anyway. He's trying to create a culture. And Belichick can look at it and say, yeah, I know that he didn't work for a guy who's very similar to me, but I'm in a different position here. I need to win right now, and he can help me win right now. You know what I mean? Like, I think you could take a chance with win. No, it didn't work. He obviously was unhappy with his role, whatever it was.
From the day he got here.
Yeah, which was odd.
Yeah.
That was an odd situation, but I don't know.
Told you the story now that he you know, he's gone, I can say it. I got out that first game that he was here. I got out of the elevator in the hotel, and he was with a guy that looked like an agent. Oh, and the agent was saying, I'm doing everything I can for you. You know?
Yeah, but where is he now?
Well, everything he can was to get off this team.
No, I know, but so a team is not better than no team?
Yeah,
I don't know. It was odd. I mean, all around it was odd.
Yeah. Now, I gave him the benefit of the doubt and said maybe he's going to try to take a year off and you know, get truly healthy because he can't do what he wants to do with how bad the knee, whatever. But then the reports right after were he was looking for something immediate. It just wasn't New England. He was looking for a good opportunity immediately. So, I don't know that we know the whole situation.
Oh,
that's a strange.
Yeah, there's some, even the way it was explained after, because at first Kellen asked for his release and we gave it to him. But then when Bill explained it, it was more like we had a discussion and it was decided. There was no definitive, I made a decision or he made a decision. So there is some background there that we don't know about.
So he didn't fit either the Schiano or the Belichick way, really.
Right. It's the Kellen Winslow way.
I think
that's the problem.
But I think he did ask to be released.
Oh,
I'm sure.
I'm sure he wanted to. There's no doubt.
I think you probably.
And Bill said why, and he said because, and he said, well, "What if I don't?" And then I'll make a scene, and you won't be happy. And he said, "Okay, you're gone."
I think it was odd. I think he wanted a bigger role, and I don't really understand it.
But isn't
he was here for
catches in New England in the best offense in football a bigger role than sitting on your couch at home and no one knows who you are?
I don't know.
Right.
Collecting a paycheck.
I mean, isn't there a chance? You're on the best offense in football with the best quarterback in football. And I know, okay, so Gronk and Hernandez, but things change week to week.
Right.
If you don't have something better, now maybe he thought he had something better that didn't pan out, but right now he's playing flag football with his buddies in the back lot. That's it. Nothing else.
With Dante Culpepper in the parking
lot? Sure, at Walmart.
Josh from Burlington writes in, Fred, if Aqib lets one less guy run free down the field each game, that's a slight improvement and it's worthwhile. He doesn't need to shut everyone down. I don't think he does either. I don't think he needs to, I don't think it's impossible to shut.
But you don't agree with his sentiment.
But you don't agree with his sentiment.
One less guy go down the field. That's
I don't think he will.
But if
he's not as good as McCourty, he's going to let just the same amount of guys run down the field. I'm sorry.
If he's not as good as McCourty, the same amount of guys are going to run down the field.
That's right.
That makes no sense.
But if he's better than Arrington, it won't be an improvement.
That's true.
I don't really understand that. We don't have to go back there, but I still don't get it. Just
that
for the record,
let's just
for the record,
agree
I still don't understand.
No one does. Not a caller. Not the guy whose septic is too close to his well.
Paul says,
I think that guy just said it perfectly. Mm-hmm. If one fewer guy runs free because of Tlaib being there instead of Arrington, it's worth it.
Okay.
I think if your defense has trouble getting off the field on 3rd and 20, you should be seen as trying something, but I think I agree with Fred. If the improvement is only marginal, is it worth the cost?
Yep.
What cost? A 4th-round pick?
That depends what school you go to. In the old days, it was just a 4th-round pick until Belichick convinced us that every pick was super valuable.
Well, I mean, you can get a good player in any round. We know that. But it's not that valuable of a pick.
No, but he spent years telling us how valuable they were.
I know, and Patriots Nation has spent the whole year telling us how the defense wasn't as bad as we thought it was until we went out and traded for a cornerback who's going to make the defense better. Now everybody says, look at how bad we were.
Mike in Norfolk says, I think
Patriots
call,
Nation.
You know.
What?
You got a call, you know.
Yeah, I know. He's only been on for a little bit.
Yeah, but he's a big TV star.
Oh, is this the Paulie that was?
Yeah.
Yeah. See where it says TV commercial?
Paulie in L.A. Now, when were you on TV?
Why
for?
Did you not tell us?
We've talked about this commercial, and I didn't know it was you. You know, it's the one with Jim Harbaugh where he's the fan giving the pregame speech, and Harbaugh comes in like, what's going on here?
That crazy-eyed look that he usually has.
That's you, Paulie?
Yeah, that's me.
How'd you get that gig?
Well,
the right person?
you go out to an audition.
Comes with slow dob.
You're going to let him talk?
You go to an audition and you book a job, just like how you guys got your job.
That's great.
That's not how I got my job.
Found a sucker who would hire me.
did John in L.A. hook you up at all?
No, John's a writer. He can't help anybody.
Oh,
exactly,
snap.
A waiter. So
that's awesome, Paulie.
Now,
it is.
Now, how does this work? Are you going to make a lot of money off that? Because I see that commercial a lot.
I hope so.
It's always on NFL. It's an NFL network thing, right?
Yeah, it's all over the place.
So that means no one sees
it.
You know what? I haven't seen it. I have not seen it once on my DirecTV New England Patriots game. Not once, which I thought was very comedic.
Well, hold on. Kevin will play it. Stay on the line, Paulie.
Hey.
All eyes right here. This is our year. I thought it was last year. Turns out I was wrong. None of us would walk in here and sell. That's how we are!
I forgot what I was going to say.
Patrick, I want 100% commitment.
Because I care, man, okay?
Who are we? What are they? Yeah!
What the heck is going on in here?
Sorry, Coach, I just got a little carried away. All right.
I think we're good.
For a chance to be in the locker room on game day and more, join Visa NFL fan offers and make your season epic.
That is awesome. Congratulations.
It's awesome.
Hey,
I thought
hey,
the acting was a little over the top.
Yeah, I think you overacted a little bit. You one of those method actors?
I know. I'm an improvisational actor, so I just do what happens. It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like writing. You just do what comes.
Okay, now spill it. How was the shoot? How were the players to work with and all that?
Did you get to meet America's movie actor, Morgan Freeman?
I did not. He did voiceover, which means he probably did it on a separate day at a separate studio in a separate country, for all I know.
I
didn't get to see him.
You're a very vile little man.
Phenomenal. It was absolutely fantastic. I was nervous at first when I first walked in. You know, we shot in Candlestick Park in the locker room, and the big conversation was that this is, you know, the last time they were going to do something in Candlestick because they're moving the park or they're moving into a new stadium.
Yeah.
Building a new one. So there was a lot of this is pretty exciting because this will be gone. And that was really a little intimidating at first. And then I realized that, you know, as we got closer to the shoot, I was going to be, you know, going literally into the middle of all these football players and trying to make something of this scene. And at first, split second, I was like, yeah, I'm a little intimidated. And then I realized, you know, after doing it, after two or three takes, you know, I do comedy for a living. So these guys were loving it.
Right.
You know, they were having a great time because I'm just a comic.
Right.
Those guys are, you know, they're just football players. They were totally into it, laughing their heads off.
Now, were they all players or how many players were there? Were there just like fill-in actors?
There was a lot of fill-in actors, but I would say what I noticed was who I talked to was a lot of the rookies because I think they had just done their first cut down.
Yep.
And they were on their second set. So a lot of the rookies were there. Including their rookie left tackle, and he was an intimidating foe. and then Patrick Willis, obviously, and Alex Smith, and Harbaugh. So they were great. And they, you know, as we went through the day and kind of got a lot of our work done, the players kept saying to me, "So you're a Niners fan, right? Sounds like you're a big Niners fan." I'm like, "Oh, yeah, you know, I'm the huge football fan."
Yeah, go with that.
Who's your life? You sport? I just love football. And, come on, who's your team? The Patriots.
Ooh.
Dead silent.
Really?
And I'm like, yeah. And then Stacey Wall was the director. He was really fantastic and really gave me a lot of room to improvise and play around and have fun with the work the material they had given me. And you could just, they were like, okay, so we're going to feed you some line. I'm like, all right. So they were like, you know, we're sick of the Patriots winning all the Super Bowls. I'm like, no, I can't say that. Like, come on, you have to say that. I was like, I'm really having a hard time saying that. Like, come on, just go ahead. I was like, all right, fine, I'll say it. I was like, I am really sick and tired of the Patriots winning all those Super Bowls, except for the last two when the stupid Giants won. And they were like, no. I was like, well, okay. And we kind of moved on from that. And you know, things like that. They kept saying, say I hate the Patriots. I was like, no, I won't say it. Like, come on. Don't you want to? And then, you know, later on, they're like, come on, be a 49ers fan. I was like, yeah, you know, I got a lot of respect for the 49ers. I respect that team.
Yeah.
I think one of my favorite moments was is I kind of got a little big for my bridges at one point. I got later on in the day, or towards the end, we were going to go out in the field and shoot all the pieces out on the field. And I'm walking behind Jim Harbaugh and Alex Smith, and I realized that it's just us walking down the hall, the tunnel into the field. I was like, wow, this is a really cool moment. And I said, so those Jets don't look like they're going anywhere, do they? And they just kind of stopped for a second. And they kind of look back at me, and Harbaugh goes, well, I'll let you know after week four when we play them. And I can feel, like, the quiet, uncomfortable, awkward moment. And Alex Smith just kind of takes a breath and looks at me and goes, you're just asking that because they're in your division. I was like, yeah, I guess. And Alex goes, you know, I got to tell you, for the time I've been playing this game, anything can happen on the field. Anything, any one mistake can change the entire outcome of a game. And he was so sincere. He's already a pretty mellow-looking, relaxed guy. He kind of keeps really good eye focus. And he just kind of, when he said that, I was like, wow, there's a guy who was supposed to go to the Super Bowl and a mistake made him miss the Super Bowl. And it's like, you kind of have that moment like, yeah, it's an oblong-shaped ball. It's a game decided by inches, and millionaires play it. So yep. Who the hell knows what could happen?
Did you get to ask Harbaugh what really happened with him and Schwartz?
You know what? I didn't. I
wasn't an interview.
I would love to know that. Like, well, what you guys really say to each other out there?
Yeah, he came up to me during the piece because you know how he keeps showing up at the end. So I would do a bunch of stuff, and then he would come walking into the middle. And there was a couple of really great moments we had where he's supposed to say that line. What's going on in here? And I ad-libbed the line. And at one point, he kind of ad-libbed the line back to me. He goes, I got to tell you, that was one of the best speeches I've ever heard. I was like, really, coach? He's like, oh, yeah, I put that in the top 50. Wow. Oh, wow, coach, that's fantastic. I didn't even expect to play.
So did
he started laughing. It was really cool.
How did Patrick Willis smell when you hugged him?
I got to tell you, man, Patrick Willis, I'm a football fan. I love football. I love my Patriots. I love football. I play fantasy football because it's fun to keep an eye on everything going on in the league. I don't understand what the hell I'm doing. I just pick people I like or whatever. But I like football. So there I was talking with the guy. His arms are so big.
Yep.
His biceps had biceps. They were gigantic. And all we kept talking about was how he really just wants to meet a nice girl. Yeah. He was like, yeah, man, I just really, really like the meet a nice girl. And at one point, he's like, I don't want to be like Ocho Cinco. And I was like,
ah. Oh, no.
You mean not on the team? Is that what you mean?
Or with an insane person. As
you yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So, all right, so, Paulie, what do you got lined up? Are you going to be living off this for a while?
Yeah, you get checks yet?
No, you know what? I've only gotten bits and pieces, but that takes care of itself. I have no control over that. It just right. happens. I just do my job.
But you have anything else lined up that we'll see you in soon?
Right now, I'm doing mostly live shows in Los Angeles at that time of the year where everything kind of gets a little quiet, and then it'll be busy for the next 2 weeks, and then it'll get quiet for the holidays, and then it'll kick right back up. I'm doing a show at Comedy Sports LA and at Impro Theater. You can look up both of those online. They're easy to find. And,
okay.
If you guys ever find yourselves in San Diego, I'd love to treat you guys to some alcoholic adult beverages.
That'd be awesome.
Sounds well, good.
It's great to know celebrities. We like that. It gives our show credibility. Congratulations,
you can
Paulie.
Endorse us, Paulie.
Hey, say again?
You can endorse us
as a celeb. Do. I'm always a huge Patriots Football Weekly fan, and I try to promote as much as possible. As a matter of fact, Andy and I went back and forth last week on the old Twitter in regards to, what was his name, Francis?
Oh, Justin Francis? Or
yeah. I He made a great play, and I right away was like, who the hell is that? Andy was like, you're an idiot. This is who that is.
It's the guy I've been trying to pump up since, like, May.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
by the way, is a very nice guy with a very nice mother.
Oh, that's...
So now you should like him even more.
I do like him even more. It sounds as long as he's doing his job, I will like him even more.
Okay.
All right, Paulie.
Thanks, guys. Have a great one.
Thanks for calling.
Congratulations, Paulie.
Paulie in L.A., making it happen. I love it. That's good stuff.
The whole thing is funny, though. Like, the way he talks about, like, as the day wore on. You shot a 30-second commercial.
No, no, no.
No, I know.
Let me tell you, that took a day.
But it's ridiculous that it does.
Yeah.
We put out a very good TV show in, like, 2 hours. It's a half hour of TV, and we're done. Like, everything. Like he probably hugged Patrick Willis like 50 times.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I just find that whole thing
amazing.
And
there's catering involved.
Right. It's a commercial. Oh, yeah. It's not that big a deal. You're not looking for an Oscar here.
It's a
big thing. As someone who has actually done some of that work, Fred.
Oh, wow.
It's amazing that how much, like, one scene is an entire day.
He's got his SAG card, but it's for his breast. It's got nothing to do with his
act. Look at the funny little man.
If only Eric were here, I'd say something else.
Anyway.
Speaking of Eric.
Sporting news. Did you happen to see some of these sporting news polls?
Yes, the most overrated coach in football.
Well, I'm going to go with the good news first.
Sorry.
Flattering. More of a flattering one. NFL's best organization, according to the SN NFL poll.
Jaguars.
Players pick the Patriots.
There you go.
But they also were asked to pick the NFL's most overrated coach. and there was like 150-some-odd players polled, Rex Ryan won in a runaway as the most overrated coach, but Bill Belichick was second.
Numero dos.
Which I was a little surprised
not that
about.
Far ahead. Like, it was like 35 votes for Rex and then like 16, and then down to, you know, a lot of others getting votes. So what that tells me is players have a lot of respect for Robert Kraft and the organization, but not as much for the coach.
Well, the players.
Or for Bill. I mean, or for Brady. They have a lot of respect for Brady and think the coach is overrated because Brady does it all.
Sure. Could be.
Kind of trying to read between the votes.
Evidently a light crowd up at Belichick's press conference today. He was wondering if everybody was on election coverage duty because there's no one there. But tweet comes out here. BB says he saw most of the Buffalo-Houston game, not so much Miami-Indy, since they were on at the same time. Makes sense since New England plays Buffalo and Houston.
Don't they play Miami?
Don't they play Miami and Indy?
Right. So there's actually three games in that game and only two in the other.
Yeah. I thought that, and you also commented on.
Who sent that tweet?
No need to.
Oh, come on, send it.
Shalice Manziel.
Your guy, by the way, on the Tlaib trade was bad last week.
What'd he say?
The Bucks tweeted out that it was for a fourth round pick with a seventh coming back, and he immediately said, Patriots give up a fourth and seventh for Tlaib. And then a few minutes later,
he's a little sloppy. BB on Shanko. Good to see him back out there. We'll give it another week here and see how it goes, but it's good to see him out there. So no word on whether or not they don't have to make a determination. This is the last week, I assume?
I believe.
So we'll see what happens.
We could have all kinds of guys.
Twitter
Tlaib,
updates.
Shanko, just coming out of nowhere. Myron Pryor. Is that it?
Well, we could have too many guys. We have to make some decisions. Who plays, who doesn't, who sits, who doesn't.
What do they call them? Fantasy? Stardom, sit-em, stardom?
Yeah, play them, sit them. I don't know. I don't play fantasy.
Belichick says he believes the deadline to activate Shanko would be Monday at 4 p.m. He believes.
I would have replied, I believe you need to know that.
ask the geniuses at the league. Oh, actually, someone said, we also play Miami and Indy. And she wrote, duh, that's true.
And Miami twice, right?
Yeah.
So it's actually three games left against those two. So if you were going to wait them anyway, you might watch that.
Mike in Norfolk, I think I actually have to say I'm understanding Fred. I think his point, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that since defenses can throw at will against McCourty and Arrington, it doesn't matter if we upgrade Arrington. To use the O-line analogy, if Solder and Vollmer are both getting beaten every play, but you consider Solder a little bit more talented than Vollmer, then upgrading Vollmer with a player less talented than Solder is not going to help. You're still getting beat on every play. I think that's the point. Regardless, I think Freddie and I are in agreement about Tlaib. We believe he is an improvement over the current version of McCourty, and therefore is an instant improvement to the defense. And since Bills manages to collect mid-round picks like Escal collects fake phone numbers from barely legal co-eds, present love interest excluded, I think there is no downside to the trade.
Well, he has no mid-round picks anymore. He's traded them all.
I don't really understand that explanation. Did you?
I wasn't really listening.
Canadian Mike in
Florida. He has to be, according to you, Fred, he has to be light years better than McCourty.
If two guys are zero and you add a zero, they're still zero.
Right. So
ten and one guy's a nine and one guy's an eight.
But according to you, if two guys are a zero and one guy's a one, you haven't really improved yourself.
Then you've improved.
No. You've admitted whatever you think Arrington is, you've admitted you think Tlaib is a little better, but yet you haven't improved.
I know.
I hope they pass that assisted suicide law.
So if McCourty is a 1 and Arrington's a 0, Tlaib's got to be a 10 to make this worthwhile for you.
Aaron says, Fred, you're crazy. I normally
agree with you. You just said Canadian Mike.
Oh, well, I got to this one. I don't know how it came up.
You started reading Canadian Mike, and Paul interrupted you, and you never read it.
Well, God forbid that we actually comment on the emails that we get.
Well, I'm just saying, Canadian Mike is screwed.
Canadian Mike. Living in Tampa, I've seen enough Buccaneer games to formulate an opinion on Tlaib.
Canadian Mike lives in Tampa.
I never liked the Bucs, and I always give my friends a hard time when they lose. But as far as Tlaib goes, he is a good cover guy. Unfortunately, he gets lost when they play zone.
That's good.
He's always the last guy around the ball and is shy about around contact.
Good.
I often found myself saying, who is that idiot, and why is he running away from the ball? However, on the very next play, he would intercept the ball with a nice catch. So depending on how they use him, he can be productive. He's definitely worth taking the chance. Just let him cover. As far as his personal issues go, the Bucs have very few leadership guys, with the exception of Rondé Barber, not to mention a lot of bad coaches. That is not the case in New England, so the risk is low. Let's face it, Moss and Dillon paid off, and while Ocho and Haynesworth did not perform in the field, they were not cancerous off the field, so all of those guys were worth the risk, and so was Tlaib. So there. And then Aaron says, Fred, you're crazy. I normally agree with you, but today I have to really question where your head is with this Tlaib discussion. Why are you trying to argue this with Paul and Annie? You are right on with your feelings that Tlaib has to be better than McCourty, but trying to explain it to these two chuckleheads is insanity. I mean, one of these guys is at least halfway responsible for the overreaction popcorn fart power rankings. The undefeated team drops two spots when they win.
Just keep reading, Andy.
The facts are simple in your argument, and I agree. But McCourty hasn't played that much better than the other defensive backs, and if this guy isn't better than Devin, then he risks what Tlaib brings off the field and in locker rooms is not worth a marginal increase in defensive back talent. Would the team be slightly more talented? Yes. Could they be slightly more talented or worse in the locker room? Yes. But having said that, I agree with Fred again that I think this guy is better than McCourty. Therefore, the reward has the potential to be great and worth the risk. Well, crazy or not, keep fighting the good fights. Maybe someday you will convince these two that Spikes is getting good, Mayo makes plays, and the team would miss Welker leaving.
No, he's off Spikes. He kicked Spikes to the curb in the offseason.
Well, Aaron and others know that that's not true.
Well, and just so you know, you will never convince me that increasing the talent level of your team doesn't increase the talent level of your team. for lack of, to put it in Fred parlance.
Or to be incorrect in what I was saying.
You're saying it doesn't matter if he's better than guys that are playing. That's what you said.
Mike in Maryland.
He has to be better than all the guys that are playing, not just some of them.
Mike in Maryland says, if Asante Samuel was traded for a seventh-round pick, then how is this character worth a fourth? Well, that was crazy, that Asante Samuel thing for seventh. I don't know how they got that done.
Did you see the play he made the other night, by the way, in the end zone? System corner, still getting it done.
So. And Adam Vinatieri still getting it done.
Yeah, I don't think you can.
Adam Vinatieri.
Adam's having kind of an uneven year for him, though.
And wait,
he is 111.
Wait, he had a big field goal to hit, to win a game, and he won it?
Yeah,
you never see that.
He's also missed some.
That lost him games?
Yeah.
Really?
He missed one against Jacksonville, I want to say.
He missed two last week against Miami, too. And that was a tight game, three-point game.
No, but he won the game.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, if he made those other two, those 6 points might have mattered.
Sure.
Things a little easier.
Could you win your little pool?
Game's on the line. I'll take it.
So I went 12-2 against the spread, which is the best I've ever done.
He's got that so talk.
And lost. Well, the tiebreakers, total points for the Monday night game. If Philly scored that garbage touchdown, they were going in. I would have won both of them, and instead I won none of them.
That was the long way to say you lost.
Yeah.
Well, it was a yes.
But
no
it was
answer.
Close.
It was a yes.
Brutal though.
It was a yes.
12-2 against the spread.
That's why you shouldn't gamble.
Well, no,
because you're always close to winning, but you lose.
It's a pool, though.
But you put money in, right?
Yeah, but not a lot. I mean,
how much?
Oh, shut up.
$50?
Like $100.
What's this guy over here?
This guy, willy nilly, $100 isn't much.
There's 150 plus people in each of them. There's a ton of money in there. First prize.
How many times have you won?
This year I've won 1 week.
Why didn't you buy lunch?
I don't know. But it's paid for. It pays for your entry into both of them. And then if you win first at the end of the year, it's $3,500. That's
you
a lot
won't.
Of money.
I know.
I'll never win it, but you know.
That's what gambling
it's
is.
It's still fun to pick the games. Though.
Okay. John in South Carolina.
He's so dismissive. Okay.
And by the way, just 1 second. A look that Paul gave me when that last emailer brought up the Wilson-Hart Power Index because the Falcons dropped from 1-3 despite being undefeated. Nobody thinks less of the Atlanta Falcons than that chubby little man over there across the microphone. And for him to roll his eyes.
Pointing at Paul.
I actually think less of the Chicago Bears.
To roll his eyes that they dropped.
And if you want proof of that, you can watch the entire Comcast appearance of last night when I said the most fraudulent team in the NFL was Chicago.
So you agree with the Hart rankings?
No, Chicago's number one.
No, I know, but Atlanta dropping, you would agree with that?
I would have other teams that I would have ahead of Atlanta, yes.
Okay, so
but
for this
his
league,
rankings,
fraud.
For his,
fraud.
His rankings, they've been number one. So how do they drop?
Because they're not that good.
Well, the one thing we've learned.
They're not winning dominant style. They're not playing good football across the board, offense, defense.
The Wilson-Hart rankings.
Is that it's great.
By the end of the season, they get it right.
Yeah, and you also said
to
me.
Don't mock it like that.
And you also said to me last week, and I agreed with you, that the reason that I'm so down on Atlanta is the postseason is clouding my judgment.
Right, because you're like Felger. You're
see,
a baby Felger.
See, I
if you haven't done it before, you can't do it.
I disagree.
That makes no sense.
No, but you don't think a little bit less of Atlanta than you would say, like, maybe a Green Bay? Because they haven't won as much when it counts? Or the Giants?
Well, maybe a little. But I like Atlanta. I think Atlanta's got a lot of good playmakers.
Well, I actually agree with you, and I disagree with something you just
team.
Said. Like, they're not playing, you know, this kind of football.
They're not dominating.
They're not dominating on the scoreboard, but they play pretty well on both sides of the football.
Oh, yeah. I think they're a good
team,
but they're not dominating on
either side. They're not a great defense, and they're not a great offense, but they do play.
They could be a great
well.
Argument for this year, where it looks like a lot of teams are going to be sort of one dimensional, yeah. one way or the other.
I think I'm overreacting with my opinion in terms of their lack of playoff success in the past, and looking at like squeaking by Carolina at home,
right?
And they had another home game that was the Raiders that was. They won on a game-winning field goal in the last play of the game.
Because they're the perfect 2012 undefeated team. They're not that good, but they're undefeated because 2012 blows.
John in South Carolina. Hey, guys, and Eric, who may be by later.
I probably just missed the whole league.
I think we blame
McCoy. Am I wrong? There's no great teams in this league.
Yeah, but do you think it's that much different than it's been the last five
years?
Yeah,
I think it's abysmal.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's pretty abysmal.
I think the league is like this. Like,
I think it's
you know,
pretty, pretty bad.
Since like
I think
07.
The mediocrity
like
it, is just
07 yeah. is the last time I thought there was like a really really good team.
I think there's defenses that aren't
that was
that
us,
good, offenses that are sucky. You know, like these offensive lines. Why are there suddenly not enough fat guys to go around? It's like every team has a terrible offensive line.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
But it does
because offensive lines are irrelevant.
Oh, I see it change a lot of games. I see the Patriots dominate that St. Louis offensive line. That was a crap group. Why are there so many linemen being signed off the waiver wire for every team? Like the Eagles. They have playmakers that can't get them the ball because it's one and a half count
night?
And they're getting nailed.
34% of his dropbacks, he was either hurried or sacked or something like
well,
that.
I'll tell you what, in the part I watched, it was 100%. He would literally do like a five-step drop, and the plant foot wasn't to throw. It was to, oh, my God, there's three guys coming. I got to save my – like, if it weren't that he was mobile, if Drew Bledsoe was a quarterback of the Eagles, he wouldn't make it through three snaps. They are abysmal on the offensive line. And – I think there's not enough corners to go around. There's not enough offensive linemen to go around. Now, finally, it looks like there may actually be enough quarterbacks to go around, and the rest of it can't keep up with it. But is it because of the crap-ass defense, Paul? That's the only thing I don't know.
That was great, even for you. All I did was make the noise, and you knew exactly what I was
well,
talking
I do,
about.
Cause, but I agree with you. Quarterbacks are playing...
Golden age of quarterbacks, Andy. You can say it.
See,
you
I would say
it.
It's the abysmal age of defense and DPs.
That's because you're always a glass half-empty guy.
I don't think
and
so.
And I tend to be a little bit more optimistic.
I know, you think
And I look at the good in everything.
Yeah.
It's the golden age right. of quarterbacks, Andy. You got to embrace
you're
it.
You're looking for the good
don't
in Aqib
Tlaib. Don't be afraid. Well, there's nothing good to... I mean, you can play football, but there's nothing good to find.
Anyway, getting back to
just
John's
hope I don't
email,
get shot.
I think we blame McCourty for errors when he's trying to make up for someone else being out of position. He's often letting someone go to the next zone, and no one is in that zone to pick up the player.
Sometimes.
I'm not sure this is because McCourty did the wrong thing or another member of the secondary made the wrong move. That's a good point because no one we don't know either.
No, but it's not always.
Yeah.
Sometimes he's chasing because the guy beat him.
Right. I don't think Gregory will be healthy enough to play safety, so I do think McCourty will play as safety because he's the only other one who can be back there. McCourty is a good tackler, and I think he can make the read and make the play if he's not trying to be responsible for the underneath coverage. So if we grade out our starting secondary 1 through 5, 5 being good, 1 being horrible, I would do it as such. He's got McCourty as a 3, Arrington as a 2, Chung as a 2, Gregory as a 2, and Dennard as a 3. So he's got McCourty and Dennard as the same.
And what's Tlaib?
He doesn't have him in there yet. The new secondary includes Dennard as a 3, Tlaib as a 4,
ooh.
Chung as a 2, McCourty as a 3, and Cole as a 2. Cole got on the radar from his performance.
Well, he's one of those guys I was talking about earlier. One week they're a star, the next week they're irrelevant.
Right.
And I think, well, we'll see. I don't think he's going to be a permanent fixture in that secondary, do you?
No. Never has been.
No.
I haven't really seen anything leads me to believe he should be.
508-298-0398.
Plus, if he's only marginally better, what's the point?
Is the Ace Ticket Hotline.
It's not an upgrade.
Sean is in Salt Lake City. Hey, Sean.
Hey, I wanted to call in about that trade.
Sure.
Which one? I'm just kidding. I'm sorry, Sean.
Done this year.
I'm sorry, Sean. I was being.
Paul was being his typical a-hole self.
Yeah,
I was
yeah,
being
you know.
Sarcastic. I'm sorry.
But that's part of the reason why I like listening to the show is listening to him being asked.
Right, exactly. That's my role. Escape my
so
lane.
So I have a concern I wanted to bring up besides the locker room.
What locker room?
Oh.
That was Andy, not me. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, I know.
Don't let them get you off track.
So you have Dennard, who in, before he was drafted, him and...
punched a cop.
Yes, he punched a cop.
Jeffries. From South Carolina in the Senior Bowl.
Yep.
Just straight got at it. And then you have the guy that we just traded for who beat another teammate with a helmet. do you think we could end up with a complete brawl out on the field?
No.
Well, you got Spikes, who's got a little bit of a temper, and usually other members will pull him away.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's fun to say, oh, you know, these guys are tough and they have an edge, but no, I don't. I mean, when you look at guys like Cortland Finnegan, the closest thing we have to Cortland Finnegan is Logan Mankins. So that's on a separate side of the ball from all these guys. And no, I don't. I mean, I think they are physical, edgy, young, cocky guys, and I like that.
And you want them to have.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Especially on a team that, you know, I don't think Rob Ninkovich really has that. I don't think Gerard Mayo really has that. Well, Wilfork has it, certainly. You know, but I think you kind of need to blend. You know, I don't think Steve Gregory has it. McCourty doesn't have it. You need to kind of blend the different attitudes.
And Bill's even said, look, when you make a great play, get excited.
Enjoy it.
Get excited. And I was surprised a little to hear him say that, but I guess it, in his mind, it does mean something to get emotional.
Played on emotion.
Yeah,
if you're emotionless, you're going to be winless.
You got to have emotion. Yeah.
So one last question for you. Do you think, and I know it's been brought up 1,000 times about McCourty going to safety, do you think Bill could be putting Dennard and the guy we traded for out on the edge as man corners instead of a zone?
Possible. Certainly the only two options I want to see is to leave with McCourty or to leave with Dennard. Those are the only two I really feel comfortable seeing at this point.
I agree.
All righty. Thanks, guys.
And you got to be able to play man two.
Okay, why?
In the NFL, does not know. I have no idea. But that's what those in the know tell me.
Who?
Greg Bernard.
You know, one thing we haven't talked about, and is it out of the realm of thinking that it could be Dennard and Tlaib at corner and McCourty comes in at nickel?
Yeah, that's out of the realm.
Out of the realm?
There is no way Devin McCourty's not a starter on this team.
Okay.
His buddy Bill wouldn't let that happen.
But it will be interesting to see who plays in the slot. I think on nickel situations.
Now,
I don't think any of them are ideal.
I think the best, most likely scenario, knowing Bill, knowing what they've done all year, is you could see three or four different combinations over. But then he made the comments yesterday. He wants to see some consistency and some continuity back there, which kind of flies in the face of his whole game plan. Everything that he's
been. Let me ask another question: is there a chance that after the Bills game, Tlaib doesn't play immediately?
I think there's a chance he doesn't start.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Or start, yeah.
Oh, I think there's a good chance he might play in a role pretty quickly.
But he may not be that.
I don't think he's going to be a 75 snap guy.
Yeah.
I think they'll be, because, you know, there's going to be some sort of an adjustment period, especially if he sucks at zone. Now, if they're just going to say, line up against opposite, you know, who are we playing? Reggie Wayne. There's Reggie Wayne. Where Reggie Wayne goes, you go. Okay, that he can play. But if you're actually going to ask him to play defense on a team level, then there's going to be a growth period.
Michelle from Stockholm writes in, you probably heard Peter King on EEI. He talked about Tlaib having met him during training camp. According to him, he loved the new regime in Tampa that Shiano brought, the no-nonsense and tougher rules. Also, he was told he couldn't be in Dallas during the season, so he moved to Tampa full-time. I really don't think he'll be a problem whatsoever. We're not the Lions. If he works out, he's a steal. If not, a fourth-round pick, we can live with that. And watching football during the bye week really puts things in perspective. My God, it's good being a Patriots fan. How lucky are we? Absolutely.
It's a bad league. You're right.
I saw Eric walk in for a second, and then he left.
Well, he made some hand gestures about big things near his mouth or something.
Oh, see, now, why?
And now I think he got screwed out of a lunch.
Why do you do that?
Looks like he was wondering where his sandwich was, and Kevin was giving him, you know, the same look. Kevin always gives you that dumb, I don't know, it's not my problem.
Oh,
here's where he's going to defend himself on the air. It wasn't my fault. I ordered it and he didn't get it.
Did you get screwed out of a lunch?
No.
Did you order a lunch?
I thought I did, but I guess I didn't.
You don't seem too confident that you didn't.
I don't.
You still seem like there's some doubt. No, if it's Kevin's fault,
listen,
I want to know
need,
it's Kevin's fault.
If we need
fault.
To attack Kevin, I need to know right now.
Attack. No,
let me know when I'm in the right.
No, don't. Why am I not hearing anything?
I can hear you.
I can hear you.
Oh, okay, there we go. No, don't attack Kevin. It's not. That's not. He didn't do anything wrong.
He never does, according to him.
That's not right.
He didn't.
That's not the answer we're looking for.
You sure? So you don't have a lunch? Or do you have your salad upstairs?
Oh, I always have my supplementary bag of goodies.
It's true.
Yeah.
Sustenance. I laugh because it's true. He's always got, like, bread, salad, some
all
oil.
I can survive. All in different compartments.
Yeah. Right.
Do you pack that lunch the night before?
No.
Do you do
morning
it
of.
The morning of?
Well,
morning
he
of.
Gets up at, like, 4 when he's doing his laps.
He goes Come swimming on. With
it's,
the
it's 5, Paul.
Geriatrics.
Let's not exaggerate here.
That's just Wednesdays.
No, no. Oh, well, swimming, yeah. Swimming is Wednesdays, yeah.
Nights.
How do you know that? Did I
just
tell
you
that?
Yeah. See, now he thinks you're watching him, like, hanging out by the pool.
All right, so Eric's back here, and just came from
just
practice.
From practice, yep. And from sorry,
don't do that, please.
Don't touch that.
Aaron Hernandez is not there today.
Uh-oh.
But
birth of his child.
Yes, he was supposed to have a child born.
Oh, great! In
right
sex,
around
right.
Today's the 6th, which is his birthday.
In fact, we have a photo of his baby
on the Twitter.
Yep, strippers just sent it. Yeah,
how does he have it?
I don't know.
Why do we know it's actually his baby?
I don't know, but that could be something to do with why he's not there today. I'm just positing that.
Yeah, okay. It could.
Because, I mean, he did miss last week's practice.
Or he could be still hurt and we're screwed.
He could still be hurt and you're screwed, correct. But I'm going to try to think positively and say that it was an excused absence for a birth of a child.
Yeah, I'll go with it.
I'm
we'll
a stick with that
guy coming out of the bye.
Steve Gregory remains at practice, which is a good thing
nice.
For him. Kyle Aaron,
what was the attire? Full?
Full pads.
Okay.
For the 6th time.
I need to know that because, you know, Gregory shows up at a walkthrough every once in a while.
No,
yeah.
Sure. Last week was full pads. He was in uniform, and today he was in. The only missing people we have are Bolden, Tracy White, who looked like he was making some progress last week by showing up to practice, Hernandez, as we mentioned, and Trevor Scott, who did practice last week. So a little bit of a setback perhaps for him. And like I said, Kyle Arrington with the concussion was out there today. So that was a good thing. Vicente Shanko remains practicing. So Bill actually was asked about him today and said he was pleased with the way he's progressed since coming back off of the off the injured reserve. He's not fully off yet, but you know what I mean.
Yep.
They have a new guy, 45, Jarrell Harris.
Kind of big.
Yeah.
Now, does he look athletic in the 5 minutes you saw him? Because I had him in my mind playing a tweener Tank Williams role.
No, certainly not a Tank Williams type. He's big. He's more like Hightower big.
He didn't look that big.
Yeah.
Must have been the sweatshirt.
Mm.
I know you guys were doing the Twitter photo, but Darius Butler now a starter for the Colts.
I saw that.
Sergio Brown front and center in that Chuck Pagano video in the locker room. Did you see that? It was Sergio Brown and Darius Butler, right? One in front
I'm
of the
really
other.
Not very observant because I saw the video about 5 times.
There are two videos. I was just watching Pagano and Arians.
The one that ESPN keeps showing is like the frontal view.
Full frontal?
Yeah, and they're sort of, if you look at that video, they're
it's
sort of to his,
on his mind.
It really is. They're to his left. And there's CBS had one, which was sort of to the side so you could see the guys behind him, and it was Butler and Brown.
So did we confirm that that's his photo?
Yeah,
did he tweet
his
it?
Brother tweeted that out. DJ Hernandez said, "I'm an uncle," and I don't know how to pronounce the name. It's A-V-I-E-L-L-E.
Avil. Avil?
What is it again?
He says it with authority and then questions himself immediately.
A-V-I-E-L-L-E.
A-V-L.
Avil?
Yeah. Janelle Avil. Hernandez was born.
I would say Avil.
Azriel?
He says, "I'm an uncle," with a big smile, and he tweeted out.
Like from
the Smurfs?
He tweeted out the pic. But see, here's the dangerous thing, too. And they start, and I don't mean to pick on the same person, but, and thus we have a reason why Aaron Hernandez is not at practice today. Well, yeah.
You have a possible reason.
If he's not there tomorrow, Thursday and Friday, then what was, right. You know.
For all we know, he's in a wheelchair in the delivery
right,
room.
Right. Can't make assumptions.
Azil.
And she's not the only one that's doing it. They're all writing the same thing. It looks like that's why he wasn't at practice. Yeah, I'm sure that's why he wasn't at practice today. But physically, could he have practiced? We don't know. The last time that they practiced.
Positive Paul.
But he's right.
But I just think it's a dangerous assumption to make.
It could be just a coincidence that he had a baby while he was injured.
He was actually at the hospital getting looked at himself, and then she went to labor.
Oh. Eric.
Now that's taking it a step too far.
You were at Belichick, and I guess it was a light crowd?
Light crowd and
Paul wasn't there.
Not many. That's not great. Yeah, very short, too. Brief. Not many questions.
Andy wasn't there.
None.
I would have gone Fred, but
I don't know if this will surprise you, but because of yesterday with the conference calls, nobody asked about Tlaib. Not even veiled references.
Oh, yeah, I think it was pretty clear that he's not talking whatsoever until next week.
Well, I think what was but what could have been asked was asked yesterday.
People who weren't on the conference call maybe, who didn't know or whatever.
Because the conference call was only like four people.
Right. So. And it was terrible. I had terrible audio quality. It was except for McDaniels.
It was something.
McDaniels was great.
He cleared
ours
up a little
bit.
But
clear for
McDaniels was crystal clear the first two you couldn't
hear. The people asking the questions, the whole thing was terrible. I couldn't understand what people were saying.
Chris Ferreira wrote a strongly worded email
to the White Star Lines or whatever.
With suggestions on how to make it better.
Let just me know like when that fight happened.
No, it's all good. Constructive suggestions.
That would be
But he has tone. Even when he does something like that, he has tone.
That would be the quietest argument ever. that got nowhere.
That's true. Who are you talking about?
If Chris, you just said Chris sent a letter to.
Well,
PR.
He sent it to me, and I forwarded.
That's typical. Yeah.
So he pushed out.
He can't even be passive aggressive. Aggressive
badge.
He did it the right way. No, no, don't get on him. He did
Punani
Ferreira.
No,
I mean, you don't have to be all confrontational. You can just say.
And he
is
wasn't.
This, is this well? Why
is there something
he, why,
we can
why,
do
why,
about
why
the conference call quality?
I was just kidding.
Why do they need to be a go between?
Yeah. Why do you have to go through you so you could take the tone out of it and kind of touch it up?
Protocol. All right. Is that all you got, Eric?
Pussy and all that.
Pretty much.
Okay. Good.
He's gonna be mad at me.
Who?
Chris.
Ferreira?
For calling him up.
When isn't he?
It's a good point there.
When isn't everyone?
It's a good point.
Web radio at patriots.com.
Rob Ninkovich wasn't today. 298
is the Ace Ticket hotline. He wasn't mad
at you.
You didn't irritate him?
When I said, mid-season, the bye, you said it was good to get that rest. You know, I thought you'd get worn down playing defensive end. How are you feeling right now? And he was fine with it.
That's okay.
I didn't want to do the... Some wondered if you were going
to
get worn down.
I have to,
so I said,
I give you props for that.
I wondered if you would get worn down.
I hate that.
And he was fine.
I hate
because in the
people,
preseason he was edgy when I asked him about it.
Yeah, I agree. I hate when people ask a question that can sort of have an edge to it or some sort of negative connotation by saying people are saying.
What do you say to people who
do you say to critics?
Right. Let me ask you though, like if it's not everyone, assuming it's kind of a portion of the population that are saying whatever they're saying that's negative. Is it better to say some have said to get the guy's response to a negative question or Greg Bedard of the Boston Globe wrote that you stink? Like, which is better? To call out the writer?
No, I don't think that.
Because isn't it your job to get a response to the idea?
Yeah, I don't know. I think mostly you would say, what do you say to the criticism that goes this way instead of others say it? You know, it's criticism. You don't have to point somebody out because I come back to you and say, Why am I worrying about what a writer says?
That's a good quote.
You know, you know what kind of?
No, I'm just wondering because it's not like some things like the Patriots secondary. Everybody has said they stink or they struggle, whatever. So when you say, you know, critics have argued, well, yeah, that's everyone. But if it's just Ron Borges or if it's just
but the
Greg
right
Bedard,
way to ask that is say this is your ranking in pass defense. You know, have a fact to back it up instead of just somebody's opinion.
No, but if you know, if Ron Borges writes a piece, he's supposed to be a very connected, well-educated football writer in this town. And if he thinks that somebody stinks or struggled, whatever, however you want to term it, I think there's a valid reason to ask the guy if that's true. And if it's not everybody, like if whatever Borges is citing as the reasons for
right, if he cites a source,
if he's citing
there was a
something.
Source in an article that was written today that said, A, B, C, D. I think that's valid to say that.
Yeah, I agree.
If you're questioning a source, absolutely.
Okay, I'm just asking.
But if it's just Borges' opinion, no.
So now you just ignore it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unless he backed up the opinion with facts and you cite those facts. Say, in a column today, it was, you know, pointed out that you're this ranking, you know.
Now, the other part of that is sometimes, like you just said, you know, what do I care what a writer says? And Andy said, that's actually a good quote. Sometimes the worst questions get the best quotes.
Oh, yeah.
So sometimes you just sit there and you say, like, well, I don't care if it's a bad question. I want to see how he reacts
to it. Right, right.
You know?
But
you and I don't do that often enough. You and I just say, I don't want to look like an idiot and ask a stupid question.
I almost looked like an idiot today. Not sure I used naivete right. to Rob Ninkovich.
But to, you know.
Good thing you didn't use it to Gronkowski.
To have a line of question.
I wouldn't.
To have a line of question that is based on what they're saying on sports talk radio.
So sports talk radio is never right.
No, but what I'm
saying
is there's a better way to do it. No, but I
don't necessarily think you have
to
cite that.
There are people who, you know, are really knowledgeable sports fans that call on sports radio. But if that's the case, then that knowledge is based on something. Use that. Use what that opinion's based on in your questioning rather than
Devin
some
McCourty.
Say.
You know?
Callers are wondering worldwide why you don't turn your head. Like,
which I talked to him about.
But why not say, you know...
Because I don't know if he's supposed to turn his head.
Yeah, you don't.
And that's what I said to him.
Yeah.
Well, why can't you ask it like that then? You know, people are saying, oh, you never turn your head.
Well, you just are said people are saying, though. Like, people get mad when you say these types of phrases.
What I did with him...
Who gets mad?
Paul.
No, I do. I'm not backing away from that. I do get mad at that when people don't. If you don't think that that's a problem, then you shouldn't ask them what other people are saying. If you think it's a problem and people are saying it, that's different.
No, but you don't think it's a topic to be brought up if
that is
68,000 Patriots fans that think you
one.
Should turn your head.
Yeah.
I don't really, because I think if you turn your head, you're going to get toasted. But if they all believe it, I need to address it. Those are my readers.
And
I'm
that's exactly
in-between.
That's I mean, not word for word, but that's pretty much how I talked to him about it. And I said to him, listen, I know there's a lot of different things that go into coverage, but one thing we hear all the time and people ask us in our mailbag is, why do our cornerbacks not turn their heads? Is that a technique thing? Is it part of the scheme? Why? And he answered me. And remember, we talked about that. It was
and
about a month and a half
you
ago.
Asked it,
but I didn't
asking for an answer.
Right, and you're, I didn't say it because, oh, right. Oh, no, this is what other people are saying. Yeah. I think you're great, Kevin. And that's the way people act. When I get mad, that's when I get mad.
You're basically saying, help me out here with an educated answer because I don't know the answer to it. You know.
And I do that with mailbag questions a lot. I'll go in the locker room and I'll ask players about different things that maybe the listeners, you know, the readers are asking us that I don't really know how to go about. We used to do that with Bill a lot, but we don't really get that opportunity anymore.
He used to talk to us. Now he just runs stadiums.
Well, now we don't even get to go to the press conferences anymore. So you don't get that chance to maybe go off to the side and ask him a dumb question. Not that the, you know, readers' questions are dumb, but.
Parker writes in and he says, did Paulie see the Sunday night football game?
No.
I've lost all respect for Christopher Collinsworth after hearing him bitch like a girl about the replacement refs and now gloss over every crappy call the regular refs make. I wonder if he washes their balls after each game. Anyway, how about a Nike T-shirt that just says "Just do your job" with a Patriots logo on it? Can we get Flanders on that?
It's not a bad idea for a just-do-it
I read
do it
this
company.
Because it's obviously a long-time listener, because we haven't brought up Flanders in a long time.
That's true.
Did you see the huge half-hour they spent on ESPN yesterday on the pregame show talking about the mistake they made in the Washington-Carolina game?
Was that the guy who
awarding
swore?
A touchdown without having a touchdown scored?
Oh, no.
What?
That's because they didn't do it.
Missed that.
The NFL admitted a mistake was made in the Washington-Carolina game. D'Angelo Williams ran around the end for a touchdown. At the 17-yard line, they blew the whistle, but he never went out of bounds. Matter of fact, he never came close to going out of bounds.
So why did they blow the whistle?
It was an erroneous whistle.
I don't get that.
And
in the
pool report,
you just suddenly exhaled a lot of breath into your whistle
Do you want to hear this though? And this to me was far worse. See, because like I said with the stiffs that were reffing at the beginning, mistakes happen. I mean, they're human beings. But you make a mistake, admit it. In the pool report, they said, when the whistle was blown, Williams was already in the end zone, so we decided to let it stand, which is an utter fabrication. They went back and looked. He was at the 17-yard line. So it wasn't even like he was close to the end zone. And they explained that one of two things should have happened. Either Washington should have been given – the play started at the 30. Washington should have been given the option of taking the ball at the 17, so you take the result of the play up until the whistle blew, or a do-over. Those are the two things, I guess, that you can do. And they just said the touchdown stands. Now, it should have been a touchdown.
Now, did the whistle result in the touchdown? Like, did anybody let up? Or
I think that there was some let up, but it was kind of hard to tell. I only saw the play live. I saw the play happen live. And it was definitely some confusion, but Mike Pereira, I heard yesterday on...
Sorry.
On Felger and Maz, he openly called the guy's integrity into question.
Well,
he said, you can't just tell me that the whistle blows and then you lie and say that this happened when this happened. Yeah. It's almost like, you know, you don't want to admit an error. That's the worst thing that a ref can do.
I thought, I mean, the first half of that Giants-Pittsburgh game, Paul, made your case.
That to me is that's the case for some of these games are fixed.
I mean, I couldn't believe it. After reviewing, they still said that Roethlisberger, fumble that ball. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, and Pereira talked about that too. You know what his explanation for that is? And he said that, you know, I don't know, it's impossible to say for sure, but when you look at the way it all unfolded, it's not often that the ref goes under the hood to review his own call. Usually it's something downfield, whether or not the guy was in bounds, the side judge or the back judge or something happened that someone else called. It's not often that the referee, because Bill Levy made that call live on the field. And then he goes in to review his own call, and he says, I'm not saying it happens.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But
yeah.
But sometimes I don't know how you can't go in with a preconceived notion.
Right.
And he said, you know, I know that Phil Sims, you know, recanted his initial opinion right. at halftime. Clearly he was spoken to. You know, Pereira all of a sudden just comes out and says things now that he's no longer involved in the league, you know, after years of telling us that black was white.
But it's what they are. It's like Teddy Bruschi.
How it's amazing.
He talks now that he's out of the locker room when he was right. in the locker
but
room.
But this is when I used to, Fred, I used to tease you all the time, and you'd be like, well, they admitted, they almost never admit they're wrong. And this is proof of it. I mean, they won't admit they were wrong on this.
No, this was, I just don't understand. I mean, and Phil Sims never said what the explanation he was given that
right.
changed his
You're
mind.
You're going to be shot if you don't shut
yeah.
up.
Right. Just stop
I'd like to know what changed your mind,
and
Phil.
Again,
I don't
not,
know. I still don't know. And then that
Nor does Phil
and
Sims.
And then that hit in the end zone on Cruz, which was nowhere near his
but
head.
But that
well,
happens.
Pereira, yeah, and Felger said that, too.
And I know you can't review that, but that was ridiculous.
But
it happens
the Ryan
a lot.
Clark.
Pereira said on that one, he goes, because Felger said, well, you know, the ball was, it was gone, it was late. And Pereira said, the ball was still in the air.
Right.
The ball, that wasn't even an incomplete pass yet.
And had the ball made it to the receiver, that I think they would have arrived pretty close to, like, it makes it look different because somebody batted it, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, like, there was another DB that cut in front, so that cuts out this distance of the ball traveling. I think it wouldn't have looked late had the ball actually arrived at the point of the contact.
Well, it was just, anyway. All right, well, it's 2 o'clock. We've got a TV show to shoot.
Woohoo!
Coming up is John Rook with the playbook. And got nothing to nitpick. I guess he'll nitpick all the other teams
that
play
this weekend.
He's got a
trade to nitpick. You just did.
And then, of course, the fantasy football champs are coming up at 4 o'clock. And I know we're in the heat of the fantasy football season. People are getting all frenetic with what's going on. And so they'll be able to answer your questions at 4 o'clock. So, John?
The heat of the football season.
Are you going to nitpick the trade? What are you going to do today?
You know, I don't know, Fred, other than we'll probably try a little nitpicking, but because today is the election, right?
Yeah.
I think today is a good day to vote on some favorite Patriot players past and present.
Okay, like, you brought your bodyguard with you.
Brought
too.
My bodyguard today,
all
yes.
All right, who's that?
Emerson shirt.
This is yeah.
It's Freddie. You sucking up to Fred? You
my
want
alum.
To ask him something?
Well, yeah. he's a distinguished alum.
I know.
I'm just a mere professor.
He took English class, and then he rolled out the mat and wrestled in the same room.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.